Safety, dependability, and power. Chevy Silverado isn't happy unless the work is hard and the day is long. No wonder Silverado is America's number one best-selling retail pickup truck. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
Man, are my legs tired.
Did you bike the drive into work this morning?
Well, here's the thing. I misunderstood. I thought it was trike the drive. You know how hard it is for a man my size to get on
a... especially on a tricycle meant for a four-year-old.
On a tricycle.
That's a sight.
I want to sign up for Big Wheel the Drive.
Yeah, that would be... That was similar to what I was.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah. Remember on the old Laugh-In TV show, Shawnee, you'll remember this. Shawnee and I will be the only two people.
The only
people
two to remember Laugh-In.
The old Laugh-In, they used to have a guy mm-hmm. on a tricycle, and he yep. would roll for a few feet and then fall over.
Yep.
That was
you.
Me from about Hollywood down here to Columbus Drive or wherever we are.
And you're dodging raindrops, too.
And dodging raindrops out there as well. That's my big bike the drive joke for this morning. It's not going to get any better than that.
Bicycle, I want to ride it where I like.
Happy bike the drive day from all of us here on Lakeshore Drive. Just a block away. We do have a nice view of bike the drive.
The great view.
From here at the WGN.
Watching the riders go over the bridge, over the Chicago River.
Yep. Getting
very
rained,
nice.
Getting rained on.
Yeah.
Be careful out there.
Suckers.
Now.
I guess it's good bicycling weather if there's a light mist, right?
Oh, sure. I don't know about that. It can make the pavement kind of slippery.
Well, that's true. And it looks like more than a light mist as I peer out the window here this morning. People in bikes, not just starting on Lakeshore Drive, but I noticed, you know, I live much further west of Lakeshore Drive. I'll give the exact address so you can all stop by my house later.
As you've done with me many times.
Well, we like to do that. People on their bikes, you know, driving down to Lakeshore Drive from pretty far west, going east down to Lakeshore Drive and then picking up the drive there. In order to do the bike the drive in the rain.
Yeah, see, I've done that too. I'm not quite as far west as you are, but I'm still west. And I don't feel comfortable riding my bike on the main road that can get you there.
Didn't you do it a few years ago, Andy?
No, I didn't do the bike the drive, but I've been biking to the drive a lot this summer, just, you know, to get a little exercise and get over by the lake. But it's kind of a... You kind of take your life in your own hands sometimes.
Andy's wasting away to nothing with this health and fitness.
It's okay. I could use it.
Can't wait till your wedding's over so you can get fat again.
Oh, boy. You think I'm just doing
never
it.
Was.
You think I'm just doing it for that, right?
Actually, you know what? I started with the trainer like a month ago something. So
nice.
I'm following Andy's.
See, there you go.
I did dig my bike out. It was in my garage with like buried in my garage with things that I haven't seen since 1979. But I dug my bike out because while we still have a few nice days, I want to ride my bicycle.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Did you have to put air in the tires? Since 1979, I think so.
The tires are flat, yeah. The tires are completely flat. And I think they're okay because the rubber on the tires dries out, right?
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
I think it'll be okay. No, I've ridden my bike before 1979.
Is it a Schwinn Stingray with a banana seat?
I wish.
Yeah, me too. That was one of my first bikes.
I wish I still had my Schwinn Stingray.
Yeah.
And at one point, I had a Schwinn Typhoon.
Oh, nice.
Oh, the Typhoons. I remember the Typhoons.
I love that Typhoon.
Yes, sir.
I used to have a flag at the back, you know, that little bar, the little metal bar that bent over.
Oh, yeah.
Because we had a lot of high hedges in the neighborhood that I grew up in, and my mom wanted me to be seen.
Right.
So I had a big orange flag hanging up there.
Mine was all black. I want it to look as sinister as possible.
Nice.
You know, here's this pimply-faced kid. his face dotted with Clarasil on a on a jet black Schwinn Typhoon with the monkey bars.
Oh, yeah.
Love those monkey bars.
You mean the high handlebars.
Yeah. Right? Isn't that what that's called, monkey bars? No, monkey bars.
Monkey bars was the playground equipment.
Yeah, I guess that would be a little tricky to...
Yes.
What were those called? They were called something, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. High handlebars.
Well, high handlebars. Yeah, they were. But, I want to apologize to everyone who lived in my neighborhood, because I was a terror on two wheels. I was. Yeah.
My friend had a Schwinn Stingray, and I remember when he brought it, you know, home from the shop. Oh. All the kids came out. And, ooh, wow.
Yeah, those are super
cool. That's really keen.
That was the equivalent. Keen. That was the equivalent of like somebody getting a sports car now, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you had a Schwinn Stingray.
Yep.
Yeah. That was super cool.
Okay. According to the Google machine, they're called high rise handlebars.
High rise.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Boy, that's great. Did you ever have your bike stolen as a kid?
No, luckily, but a friend of mine did.
I did.
He was devastated.
Yeah, me too.
You had your bike stolen?
In front of Gordon's Pet Shop. On 79th Street, I wasn't even buying anything. I just used to like to go there because he had a
look at the animals.
Well, I would look at the animals, but he had a big old German Shepherd. I don't remember the dog's name now, but he was the nicest dog. And I would go in there and, you know, pet the dog and look at the little turtles, which we now know spread disease. Remember those little?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They would have like an aquarium full of those little turtles. And what else? They have snakes. I think they had mice in this place. I don't mean, you know, like as pests. You could buy mice in the place. But I would go there. I put my bike right outside. These were happier, more innocent times.
Right.
I just left my bike out in front of the Gordon's Pet Shop. And when I came out, it was gone.
We had one stolen.
Gone in there for 10 minutes and it was taken.
Yeah.
We had one stolen out of the garage.
Wow.
Last year.
Wow.
Oh, just last year you did?
Yeah. Melina's bike got taken, yeah.
That's bold.
Yeah, that is.
Completely bold. So now we lock them up in the garage.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to.
Yeah.
I put a chain around my car tire now on my car.
Put it around your catalytic converter.
Indeed. You need to. Well, best wishes to all of you out on Bike the Drive this morning. I'm sure most of them have their, their radios tuned, or they're streaming us and listening to WGN. Because what could be more enjoyable than being out in the rain on a bicycle and listening to this mess?
I wonder if they've attached, or some of the riders have attached, playing cards to the spoke
Playing cards
hit with the spoke, so it would sound like you were riding a motorcycle.
Like a motorcycle,
yeah,
that would be cool. That would be super cool. We are, as usual, the important issues of the day flood our text lines. And 773 says, Dean, you are right. Monkey bars is what we called them. Those handlebars.
I don't remember calling. We had a set of monkey bars in the playground. But
you want to call one of our listeners a liar, Schwanee? That's up to
I'm
you.
I'm not.
Here's another one. Said, we called them butterfly handlebars.
Butterfly.
That sounds right, too. Tell Dean the handlebars were called ape hangers. I never heard of that.
I haven't either.
But somebody else also texted them. The high handlebars were called ape hangers. The high bar in the back was referred to as a sissy bar. I do remember that, too. If you had, you know, like a, it was almost like back support, right, on your bicycle seat?
Yeah, it would come up behind you,
come up behind you, like halfway up back. Like, hey, you have a sissy bar. Spider bars.
Dean has a sissy bar. Dean has a sissy bar.
Let the record show, I never had a sissy bar. Never did.
Not until you had the CB antenna taped onto the back of your car.
Oh, that would have been the greatest. To have a CB on my Schwinn Typhoon.
Breaker 19 Typhoon with you here.
Golden Greek on the Schwinn Typhoon. Breaker 9. Well, look who's back from vacation.
Hello.
I have never seen or heard you post more enthusiastically about time off as you have for the past week.
It was a marvelous 2 weeks, almost 2 weeks, yes. Okay.
I want to take a break, and then when we come back, you can tell us all about it.
Okay.
Can't wait to hear.
Well, you're going to take the break or not?
Yeah.
Relax. Okay.
Take it easy. You get so sassy on your vacation. Relax. Remember, it's 9:24. We'll get to the far-flung forecast in a second. Welcome back, Dave Schwann, from his fantastic vacation. He's been on many a trip, many a adventure. I've never seen you post so enthusiastically.
Well,
about your trip to Achawachakon.
No, no. Which,
whatever it was
Chaka
called.
Khan, right?
Akakwan.
Akakwan, Virginia.
Yes.
And so I know you're running for mayor there because you're kissing up to the town so much.
No, no. My girlfriend, Gilda, is there, and she's that is her residence, and a beautiful residence it is. Occoquan, population 1,100. We had such a great visit there. That is such a beautiful, historic community there. So many things to see, and great restaurants, as you saw, Dean, on the post.
Yep.
And she lives in a beautiful place.
Did you get to meet Floyd and Goober and some of the other residents there?
Well, actually, there was a barber shop there, I think, but Floyd was not there.
Hey, Joanie. Welcome to Occoquan. Let me give you a nice Occoquan haircut.
And I did not see, unless I was mistaken, I did not see a gas station per se in the town.
A fill-in station.
That's right.
You posted a video.
Where we don't charge for oil, for water and air.
Want me to check
water and
water?
Air is free.
Check it. I'm going to go get a pop while you check the water on my car. When's the last time that ever happened at a gas station?
You posted a video from a place called Funland.
Yes.
Funland?
At Rehoboth Beach. Yes. Funland brought back so many memories of Kiddyland.
Now, are you on this ride that
we were waiting. Gilda and I were waiting to get on the ride.
The Sea Dragon.
The Sea Dragon.
It made me dizzy just watching the video.
Where do you get on it? It was a lot of fun, though. We did the Sea Dragon. We rode on the Paratrooper ride. We did not go on the one where you actually are upside down.
Oh, yeah, that's not good.
No, didn't want to do that.
That's not good.
But it was a marvelous thing. And Funland is the amusement park at Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, mm-hmm. which is a favorite spot of Gilda's. She's been going there since the 1970s. And what a great place to visit and see.
Very nice, beautiful pictures of the beach and boardwalk there. And mm-hmm. it just looks really nice.
We rode speaking of bikes, we rode bikes on the boardwalk.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Bicycle built for two?
I was going to say tandem.
No, two different bicycles. And it's true. Once you learn how to ride a bike, you never forget.
Yeah, Gilda was actually riding the bike. Schwani was in the sidecar.
Strapped in, nice.
Strapped in with the helmet on.
It is time for the far-flung forecast.
Our weekly compendium of the most fascinating facts that you could possibly gather in one place. Here now with the latest, Dave Occoquan Schwann.
It rhymes.
Nice.
I like that. Well, friends and neighbors, get out your compasses and protractors because we're going to go right back through Rehoboth Beach today.
Oh, thank
Rehoboth
goodness.
Rehoboth Beach, Delaware.
He is running for mayor or... He's trying to buy a business there. He's kissing up to this town way too much.
He's got two towns he's doing that. So if he has to work in one, he can go to the other.
I don't know what the scam is. There is some kind of scam going on here. I don't know what it is.
Actually, we are following a suggestion from one of our listeners among the best in the world. Diane posted the fact that she enjoyed hearing the remote far-flung forecast from Occoquan last week. And she said, why don't you do Rehoboth Beach? So that's exactly what we're doing.
Well,
thank you for your suggestion.
Goodness.
Listen to you. Rehoboth Beach, Delaware.
He's trying to buy some swampland there. I don't know. There is some kind of shady deal going on.
Opening a fill-in station?
Something.
Please, are you through?
Please proceed.
Are you through?
Probably not.
No, probably not.
Let me think about it. I'm pretty sure I'm not, but go ahead.
Anyway. Rehoboth Beach has a population of about 1,300 ordinarily, but at the height of the season, the summer season, it can expand to over 25,000. Mm. It was founded in 1873 by a Methodist church that came from Wilmington, Delaware, as a retreat town, a place for them to relax and study and everything. And the word Rehoboth is actually a Hebrew word. It means broad spaces. Mm. And that is true. It's a marvelously wonderful beach, a large beach. Even though it was busy, we still had no problem finding a place to just to sit and stay because it's so large there.
Wait a minute. You mean when you go to this town, you can actually sit?
Oh, yeah. And on the beach.
They have chairs there?
They
what?
Have, and you want restaurants? Let me tell you. They've got great food there. It's just a wonderful, wonderful place to go for the summer.
Okay. Is that it?
1873.
Are you done?
And you have Funland there, Rehoboth Beach.
Oh, Funland.
Had beautiful weather, and they have beautiful weather today. It is sunny and 79 in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware.
And don't forget, when you're there, stop by Dave Schwann Realty. He'll get you some. Where it's 936. Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Central DuPage Hospital, up next on our program. With our segment that we started off, All Things COVID, now covering All Things Health. Dr. Most, happy holiday weekend to you, my friend. He pushed the button.
I'm there hear him. This morning.
Yeah, nice to talk to you. So, you know, we've got Bike the Drive going on in the rain right now. It's coming down pretty good right along Lakeshore Drive right now. But, you know, if somebody is inspired, like myself, for example, dusted off my bike out of the garage. I want to get out there. What kind of things do I need, you know, health wise, to take precautions if I haven't been on a bike for a while and I want to do it now?
Yeah, you know, the individual who at least has been doing some form of exercising is okay. Biking is a great exercise, mainly because it uses the major muscles in your leg, also, you know, some in your back as well. So really important that as long as you've been out doing something, that's great. If you have been sedentary, sitting on a couch, and now all of a sudden you're going to go on a 30-mile bike ride, I'd be very hesitant. You know, it's one of those where your muscles are not ready for it. And then, two, the other thing, just from a ergonomic point of view, is make sure your bike is properly set up so that the seat's at the right length, so that you're not causing more problems with your knees, hips, or back because of shoddy equipment, I'll call it.
Yeah, that makes a big difference of how you're positioning your back on the bike. I'm going to say whoever invented the bicycle seat must have been the most sadistic person in the world, is my guess. Pretty universally uncomfortable.
Yes, especially if you're going to be going, you know, 20, 30 miles. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So start slow, basically. I mean, if you're, you know, sedentary, if you're just getting started, start slow, work yourself up to, you know, something like biking the drive, something like that, right?
Yeah, and if you are going to bike the drive, don't try to be the winner. Don't try to go out as hard as you possibly can if you haven't been exercising. So take it at a leisurely pace. Enjoy the views on both sides. And really take it for the enjoyment portion of it, as well as some of the cardiovascular benefits we get from riding a bike.
I'm just curious, over at Central DuPage Hospital, it's probably worse in the city where things are a little more congested. Are there a fair amount of people being treated for bicycle-type accidents, whether it's something that happened, you know, by themselves on the bike or car versus bike-related? Because it sure seems like they're at odds all the time in the city, at least anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. And we do see quite a few. And I'm glad you bring it up, because one thing I think that we really need to reinforce is, you know, people fall off bikes and they can break a wrist easily. They can break an ankle, a leg. But most importantly is that you have a helmet on, because head versus concrete does not do well.
Yeah.
So certainly we want to make sure that if we do have bike injuries, and we do see quite a few, we do have bike injuries, we want to make sure that their helmet's on. Even if it's the child, you know, just out in the cul-de-sac going around in circles in a very small area, well contained, still reinforce to them that every time they get on the bike, they have the helmet on. And you as a parent when you're going to go for a ride with your kids, you can't say, well, you have to wear a helmet, I don't.
Right.
Yeah. In other words, your brain's more important than mine, which is absolutely false.
Yeah, that's the bottom line, isn't it, really? Because, I mean, you could break a wrist, you could break an arm, you could break something, but very, very serious injuries could take place related to the brain as a result of that by not protecting your noggin. You know what scares me the most when I see, you know, bikes out in the street, and then they have that little trailer attached to the back of the bike, and a small child is inside the enclosure. And I just thought, boy, are you asking for it? That just seems like a recipe for disaster. Maybe I'm wrong, but I would never do it.
Yeah, you know, you do. You obviously increase the risk of something bad happening. You know, kids at that age are, you know, they might move around more. They're going to try to get out. They're small. And certainly if you have parents saying, well, I want to get my kids out for exercise. Well, they're really not exercising. They're obviously not at an age to exercise, but probably better off taking them for a walk with a stroller where you have total control and you can see them versus them being behind you. But I know there's a lot of people that do it.
Yeah, I see them in the streets, in the bike lanes, but in the streets right next to vehicular traffic, little kid sitting duck in one of those little trailer things going on. So, all right, so we're talking a new vaccine this week for COVID. What is the timeline for all of this, for all of us to get our new poke?
Yeah, it's great that it got approved, you know, last week by both the FDA and the CDC. So the logistics of it now, it is being delivered. If it's not delivered already, it should be available here in Chicago by Tuesday. And really, it's going to be hopefully one that's going to make an impact. And, you know, we've talked about every time a COVID vaccine making an impact. This one is kind of interesting in my point of view. A lot of people know somebody with COVID and have BA4 and BA5, and they say, oh, you know what, it's really just a really bad cold. But unfortunately, when you have that really bad cold, a couple things happen. One, the impact of public health because we continue to spread it. Kids are back in school right now. We've already had a tough year and a half with them as far as their educational process, and we certainly don't want to slow that down. And the economy. You know, we talk about the economy all the time, and people don't understand the health-related impact of COVID on the economy if people have to take a day off of work or their kid's sick and they can't come into work. You know, we really need to look at those three factors and say that's the importance of individuals getting this vaccine booster as timely as they can.
Now, explain how this one is different from previous vaccines and boosters that hopefully we all got as we were supposed to.
Yeah, and this is the importance when we talk about variants, right? We knew the original COVID, when it came out, the impact that it made in the health. Look at just what happened. It's this virgin virus we had never seen. And boy, it impacted the health of everybody. And that's why we sped up that first vaccine. Well, certainly by the time we made that first vaccine, we had already had variants. Well, right now, that variant is that BA4, BA5. Not as severe illnesses, but certainly spreads a lot quicker. So the original vaccine was just for straight COVID. Now with the variants, what we have in there is not only the straight COVID, because our immune system is looking for that, but also spike proteins from BA4 and BA5. So those are the ones that are going to protect you now from the virus that's circulating currently. Exactly what we do with flu shots every year, trying to predict which viruses are going to be spreading around. Mm-hmm. This one, we actually know 95% are BA4, BA5. Boy, I want a vaccine that protects me against that versus like some of the influenza where we're saying, well, we think it's going to be this strain. In this case, we know the strain that's out there.
Is it too early to tell if there could be similar reactions that some people had to the original vaccine and also the boosters?
Yeah, that's the hesitancy a lot of people have, because if you're, you know, inside baseball, if you're really looking at this, this vaccine has not been tested on humans. It's been tested in mice. But, however, we did have in the early May, or April and May, we had both Pfizer and Moderna making a bivalent vaccine with BA1. Now, that has definitely changed, right? BA4 and BA5. But that vaccine did very well, showed minimal side effects, and has done well. We do the same thing. People say, oh, it hasn't been tested in humans. I'm not going to do it. Wait, everyone has to understand, That's the exact same thing that happens with influenza every year. So certainly, if we look at history and we look at the manufacturing process, we should expect a great response because we know it's the exact virus that's out there and side effects that are comparable to what you would get with your normal vaccinations.
847 area code texts in, is there a new COVID vaccine coming out that does not have polyethylene glycol in it? My sister has an autoimmune disease and is allergic. She took the J&J shot, but it didn't give her any coverage against COVID.
Right. So the polyethylene glycol, a preservative there that was in the other Moderna and Pfizer and was not found in J&J, certainly they're going to be tweaking those, but I can't answer that question exactly because I'm not exactly sure. I will say that there's the nasal vaccine that we've all been waiting for has just been approved in China. So we will certainly hopefully be getting some good data out of there as far as how effective it is and how well it works, which takes care of a couple of people, the needle phobic people, and then those also with the PEG sensitivities and PEG allergies.
Okay. All right. So those are a couple of things. And probably, as always, I mean, with anything, always check with your physician before you proceed with anything. Always good advice. We'll get to some more calls and text for Dr. Kevin Most, Central DuPage Hospital, 312-981-7200 in a minute. It's 949, Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital, joining us as always here on Sunday morning to answer your questions. And Becky, you're going to be up first with Dr. Kevin Most. Good morning.
Good morning. I had a question. I had my antibody level checked, and I was told that I had a dark color, and that meant that I had a high antibody level. And I was curious as to how effective it is to manage my protective level by checking in periodically on that antibody level. I've got three shots on board, but of course those were last year, and I'm trying to kind of ride the wave until I really need to get the booster. But I do work on campus with students at the university, and we're not masked.
What do you think, Kev?
You touch on a couple of things here. One is very interesting is that you're working in a school. And if you look what's happened at U of I, look what's happening in CPS, the number of cases has just gone up dramatically. Now, antibody levels, certainly we kind of stayed away from testing those because what happens is your antibody levels will slowly drop and they'll get to a point where they're not detectable. That does not mean that your body's immune system is not ready for this. Matter of fact, next time it gets exposed, we have things called T memory cells that say, hey, I've seen this in the past, start making antibodies again. So the antibody level, although it's great to show that your body reacted either to the vaccine or the virus, as far as long-term protection, totally unpredictable, or you'd be testing yourself on a very regular basis. But like I said, the body has cells that remembers what they have seen, and that's why we don't have to have high numbers of circulating antibodies for every illness that we've ever been exposed to. We kind of have that in our back check of, you know, think about it as a warehouse. You know, you could have this filled warehouse when in fact you're not going to need it, but instead have just in time. As soon as I need it, I can produce it. So that's exactly what the body does.
Interesting. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
so
Becky. Oh, sorry.
I'm hearing from you. I need to get the booster.
Yes, especially if you're in the educational setting right now, I would certainly get the booster. Your timing for it is fine as far as when you are eligible for it. And I'll tell you, the schools, when you look at numbers of positivity rates, you know, U of I at 26%, CPS schools up 37% in positivity, we knew this was going to happen. We just want to curtail it as much as we can before the winter.
Yeah, thanks, Becky, and good luck to you on that. A ton of calls on the text line, Kev, people asking, when should I get the booster? From people saying, I just got over COVID. Should I get the booster? I just got my flu shot. Should I get the booster? What's the time frame on all this?
Yeah, so let's go over it briefly here. We'll take these each in a section. Let's say you have gotten the regular two shots and you're fully boosted. You would not get that new booster for another 2 months. In other words, 2 months since your last booster. All right. So that's the individual say, hey, I've kept up with everything. I want to continue to keep up. When should I get the booster for this one? Because we know that even with the boosters, BA4, BA5 had many cases. So you got to remember that. If you have been sick recently, it's 3 months after your infection, because we know we get great immune response for the first 90 days, and then it starts to taper. So if you've been sick recently, like myself, I am not going to be looking to get that booster until 3 months from now. And individuals who have not gotten any, you can't say, you know what, I'm just going to go get the booster. You have to have those two initial shots to make sure the immune system is keyed up enough before you get the booster. So hopefully I touched on each of those who have been infected, those who haven't been vaccinated at all, and those who have kept up.
Yeah, let's see. I think, Judy, that answers your question, because I'm told that you want to ask, should you get the normal booster before this new vaccine? Welcome to the show, Judy. First of all,
thank you.
Did I summarize correctly?
Yes, I had the two initial first shots a year ago, last September, but I haven't been able to get boosted at all, so I'm not caught up, as you would say. But I was wondering, so in the next month, if I can get a booster, do I get the regular booster, or do I wait and get the new booster that's going to take care of the variants?
New and improved, right.
Judy, absolutely great question, because, and I'm glad you asked it, because what we see out there right now is we have many individuals that are in this exact same boat as you, have not been able to get boosted because of health reasons or other reasons, or just have been hesitant to. So I got to be really clear. As long as you've had the original two COVIDs and no boosters, you will get the new booster. Matter of fact, the old booster will go away. It will be gone. It's the emergency use authorization will be removed from that, because we will want people to get boosted with this one. So you have no problem. If you go in to get your booster on Tuesday, if you can find a place that has been, then you will get the new booster, and that's totally appropriate for your position.
All right, Kevin.
I'm sorry if I wasn't clear on that.
So yeah, no, it's thank you for clarifying for everyone. That's overwhelmingly, people are asking about, you know, when am I eligible to get the booster? And I think you answered that beautifully, as always. Dr. Kevin Most.
Hey, Dean, one quick point. I know we're out of time, but just one quick point for that caller that asked about polyethylene glycol.
Oh, yeah.
I guess my mind had a mind freeze. We remember polyethylene glycol, Pfizer and Moderna for the mRNA. Well, I forgot. You know what? We just approved Novavax not too long ago, which is a classic vaccine. So certainly have her look at the Novavax vaccine. I'm almost positive it doesn't have PEG in it, but certainly she can do some research. But I apologize for that I didn't think about that vaccine.
All right. Well, at least we got all the info out there. That's the main thing. We always love talking with Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital. Hope you feel better, Kev. And thank you, as always. Try to enjoy your Sunday today.
You got it. Take care, Dean. Talk soon.
From our text line, 773 writes, I'm on Lakeshore Drive doing Bike the Drive. Good morning to you guys at WGN.
Hey, good morning.
Cool. How about that?
Be safe out there. Have fun.
Is it safe to listen to this show while biking the drive in the rain?
You could have stopped at this show. Is it safe to listen to this show?
That's very true. You're right. Andy makes a very good point. I guess that's not really distracted driving. If you're, all you're doing is listening, I guess that's okay.
True.
Where is it? 847 area code. You guys are the best part of my week. You've got me laughing already.
Excellent.
Nice.
It's kind of
a sad statement on the rest of your life.
Now, you know, I was thinking back.
We're the best part of our week.
We were talking.
Or his week.
We were talking earlier about riding bikes and, you know, you had your Schwinn Typhoon,
right.
And that sort of thing, and what we, you know, the what you wanted with it, like a Schwinn Stingray and that. But in terms of listening to the radio, I was able to do a juggling act, holding my 1962 Astrosonic transistor radio to my ear, listening to the Big 89, and holding on to the handlebar with my other hand.
Yeah, I don't know if a lot of people know that Big 89 station to which you refer is no longer in existence.
Oh.
They went off the air in about 1972. I don't know if people know that.
Oh.
You are quite the talented person, Shawnee, being able to balance all of it. A lot of us had the good sense to get us a little earplug for the transistor radio.
This was in the age before bike helmets and the safety things around your knees. So you can guess what might have happened.
Yeah, those bikes were mostly sharp metal. Rusty metal.
Mostly?
Yeah, it's amazing we're not dead, honestly. And finally, a text that says, Dear Uncle Dean, just saw an ad for Tree Time in Barrington. Are you and the gang going to do another Christmas show from there this year?
Well, now's the time to start planning.
I will answer that question in just a moment. Still to come on the program today, Regina Hall and Sterling K. Brown join me to talk about their new movie. Also from your WGN-TV morning news, one Mr. Pat Tomasulo is coming up in about 15 minutes. Good thing it's Pat Tomasulo who's coming up on the show and not Larry Potash, because he hates this song. Be a visceral reaction. He hates this almost as much as Who Let the Dogs Out, two of his favorites. In some ways I feel like any department store that's put out their Christmas display too early by playing this, but you know, we've been getting a couple of texts about this, people asking if we're going to be out at Tree Time to do our annual Christmas extravaganza. And the answer to that question is most definitely, yes, we are. In fact, we just got, Shawnee, how many times have I sent emails to the management of WGN suggesting brilliant ideas for our show?
And what happens?
Nothing. Zero reaction. I get nothing. But I got an email from them asking, are we okay to do the Tree Time show this year? And I spoke for both of you by saying, well, yes, we'd be delighted to.
Well, you spoke well.
You guys
count me in. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. That's been just a highlight of the year.
It's always been good. Jack, were you with us? Jack, were you with us last year when we did? I can't remember.
No, it was Ryan.
No, it wasn't.
Ryan who?
Oh, come on.
The guy before me.
That kid in the band.
Once the producers leave the show, they're dead to me.
You know, Ryan, with the great reel-to-reel tape recorder he bought with mic line mixing and 10.5-inch reel capability.
No wonder you remember him so well.
Wow.
You bonded with him in Nerdville.
We talked for 10 minutes about that right after he bought that unit.
Well, Jack, producer Jack is in for
half-track stereo.
This is going to be Jack's first. I'm trying to get you off the subject here. This is going to be Jack's first Tree Time broadcast.
15 IPS speed on the...
Yeah. The only problem with this, Jack, is you have to ride with Shawnee.
And his radio is broken.
Yeah. So you have to listen. Hope you're interested in reel-to-reel recordings. That's all you're going to hear for about an hour.
Don't know if I have a choice.
I can hook mine up in the car and plug it in.
That'd be fantastic. Hey, why don't we, you know what we should do? We should all get CBs hooked up in the car.
Oh, yeah.
So we could talk to each other in their cars.
On the way
I
up.
Suggested we do the show that way.
Well, I think more people would listen to the show if we did the show on CB every week.
That's what I'm saying.
We'd have a larger audience. But I mean, while we're driving up there, you know, we could drive in three different cars and talk to each other on the CBs.
We could do a conference call with our phones.
Oh, that would be so great.
And record the whole thing.
Anywho, yes, the answer is... Wow. Yes, we are going to do the show.
Can I bring my reel-to-reel tape recorder?
Here is the date. It is tentatively scheduled for November the 13th. November the 13th. Now, Dan Hampton and OB, my favorite impersonation that Schwani does of all his... is Ed Obradovich impersonations. Season starts next week.
Yes, it does.
So we're not only looking forward to hearing those guys on the radio, but Schwani, start polishing up your impersonation.
I already have.
Because it's my favorite.
We just have to wait and see how well the Bears do.
Right. That measures the amount of anger that both Ham and OB have.
That's exactly right.
In each and every broadcast. But that's going to start next week. And they'll be on. We'll get preempted starting at 11 o'clock.
I thought it was 9:05.
We'll be on at 11. What is the matter with you today? Schwani's doing a whole different show today.
I was
going
to say, he's on the B channel right now doing his own show.
He's like on Radio Octocon or wherever that was he was on vacation.
Well, I didn't tell radio, you about the radio station we were listening to driving out to.
So we're going to be starting next week. Hamp and OB will come on at 11 o'clock. So the reason I bring this up is that when we are at Tree Time, we'll be live from 9 to 11. Then we're going to do an hour's show not on the air. So it's going to be a show that we're going to do that is not going to be broadcast over the airwaves. And then we'll come back on the air at 12 o'clock for the final hour of the show.
Interesting.
Yeah. So we could do dirty stuff.
Nice.
We could do.
We could go blue, yeah.
Yeah, we could do the show that we've always talked about, Sunday Morning After Dark.
Dean Richards Unhinged.
Yeah.
Something like that.
I like that, yeah.
Yeah. You can ask us any question because we're not on the air.
And then Schwani can do his real OB impersonation.
Yeah, yeah, we'll let him go for about a half an hour on reel-to-reel machines.
We'll walk out and go get some coffee. But
Andy and I will go down the street to the Dunkin' Donuts and have a little breakfast.
Yes.
And Schwani can entertain.
Give a whole seminar on reel-to-reel.
Jack, you're welcome to come with us.
Yeah.
Good.
I'm telling you, there is an art to this.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, bottom line to this incredibly long, and I would venture guess, painful explanation is yes, we are going to do the Tree Time show. It's going to be November the 13th, and most of it on the air, but 1 hour will not be on the air, and we'll figure out something fun to do. I mean, we've got to figure out what to do for this broadcast. We can't just go up there, you know.
Why not? We've done it before.
We always deliver something extra special when we go to the Tree Time and do our special show. We always do something special. So we could do something super extra special in that 1 hour that we're not on the air to keep people...
entertained.
To keep people entertained for that 1 hour. I don't know. It's not, you know, we have plenty of time to learn the juggling act. Acrobatics. Andy's super fit now.
Yes. I'll ride my bike in there. How about that? I'm sure they would just love it up
there.
Riding
a unicycle around Tree Time.
The Sunday Morning Unicycle Show.
Juggling bowling pins.
I can't tell you the number of people that would love to see me recreate my archery demonstration.
Oh, yes.
When I shot an arrow, when I shot an apple off of Schwani's head.
I still have the picture.
With an arrow. I would love to do that again.
I still have the picture.
Sounds fun.
I think it would be fun to do it without a picture this year.
Oh, okay. I honestly didn't know how that was going to go down.
Yeah, that was on purpose.
Until about 5 minutes before we did it.
Yep.
And you kept looking over at me going, man, you are just really playing it cool here. That is all the same time, though, I was thinking, what is going to happen?
So, you know, it's, Tree Time Holiday Creations out in Lake Barrington, and we do the show live, and it's just nothing but laughs for several hours.
And it's packed from the moment we start the show. I mean, even before we start the show, right? When we go on the air.
Oh, we had a full house before we started
it. It's standing room only, but when we start the show at 9 o'clock, people come out to watch the show. So we're looking forward to doing something similar to that.
You know. We need to figure out what year this will be. I'm going to say maybe 8 or 9 years now. We didn't do it in 2020 because of COVID.
Right.
But I'm going to say 8 or 9 years we've been doing this.
Probably. Yeah. Probably something like that. Someone's texting in, do you need tickets for the Tree Time Show? Hey, there's an idea.
Yeah.
Well,
you don't need tickets.
You don't need tickets.
But
if you want your grandchildren to attend, write the letter now to get the ticket, just like you used to do for Bozo.
Bozo, the waiting list to get in.
Mm-hmm.
We can have Jack outside with a velvet rope.
No, sorry, you're not on the list.
Only letting people that he wants to come into the show.
There we go. I'm in.
Sorry, you're not on the list.
Better luck next year.
Although I do love the idea of making a little side money on this by selling tickets.
Nothing says Christmas spirit like a little side hustle.
Hey, you know what? The post-show luncheon doesn't come cheap.
That's true. Very true.
Okay, so that's good. So start thinking of ideas of things that we can do when we're out there.
Okay.
On the air or off the air?
Both.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, both. Because now they tell me that we're not going to be on the air. Are we going to be on the web?
Ooh, that's a good question.
During that 1 hour?
Because then we need to behave. Yeah.
Yes. We need to behave then.
Somewhat.
Hmm. I think the Tree Time people would love if we did just like a really R-rated hour. What says Christmas more than three guys pushing the line?
We can do a reading of Bad Santa.
Yes.
All right. Well, we have some time to figure out some special things. So mark your calendars, everyone, and don't miss it. It's always, I've already forgotten what the date is.
November 13th.
It's our Christmas show that's not even Thanksgiving yet out at Tree Time.
Jack, I will be happy to give you a ride, and we can talk about my Sony TC-353.
There we go.
And Jack, if that ride falls through, Molina and I would be happy to take you with us as well.
I'll let you guys know closer. Okay. Yeah. Andy.
Yeah. Andy could talk about how he interviewed his family when he was 4, walking up to them with a Lincoln Log for a microphone.
I'm starting to think that I may call in sick that day. This is a fantastic event, the Alzheimer's Walk. But the AIDS Walk is coming up. It's around the beginning of October. I can't believe that we're just weeks away from all this stuff now. Isn't it weird that it's September already, and you know we're breathing down the neck of autumn and,
try having a wedding in the beginning of the next month and realize we got to get some stuff done here.
I'm shocked that you don't have all that stuff done.
Well, it's not me anyway.
You're both so organized.
Yeah, it's not me,
and I'm sure you're doing most of the work.
I'm doing none of the heavy lifting.
Putting everything together. we'll have live coverage of Andy's wedding.
Yes,
by the way. Yes. All the major networks, I don't know
if
you've heard this.
Of course.
All the major networks, CNN, Fox, MSNBC, everybody.
They're all going to be there.
Carrying the Andy Molina.
Helicopters and everything.
He's going to be, you think the J-Lo and Ben Affleck wedding was big this
Wait till
year.
I'm going to have to sue the people that leaked the pictures.
We'd love that. So it's all of that just right around the corner. Also just right around the corner, you know him from the WGN TV Morning News. And if you've ever been lucky enough to see Pat Tomasulo do stand-up comedy, you're in for a treat. His annual Laugh Your Face Off benefit is also coming up in the next week or so. We'll talk with Pat coming up next. And I never want to leave. Tons of A-listers still coming up on the program later on. Regina Hall and Sterling K. Brown. You know from This Is Us. A little bit later on, we'll talk some grilling and barbecuing later to get you ready for your Labor Day cookouts. Oh, I made some pizzas. I made some pizzas on TV at my cooking segment this past Wednesday. And last week, here on the radio, a listener by the name of Kevin gave us a recipe for a pizza on the grill that I had question marks about, but I told him I was going to try it, and I did, and it was delicious. Pizza with fresh tomato, got them at the farmer's market, delicious. Strawberries, feta cheese, and mozzarella, you know, baked on the grill, indirect style. The strawberries mellow out in their taste. And you got the saltiness of the feta, the sweetness of the strawberries, the tomatoes kind of mellow out a little. It's an absolutely delicious pizza. And then you put a squirt of balsamic glaze on it. We'll talk more about all that coming up later on in the food show. Talking about television around here, every single morning I have the pleasure of working with one Mr. Pat Tomasulo. He's frequently on right before I am when I do my entertainment segments, talking sports and making us all laugh. And his big benefit, Laugh Your Face Off, is coming up this coming September 24th. Over at the Park West, and joining us on the phone line, one Mr. Pat Tomasulo right now. What is a Pat Tomasulo Sunday morning like?
Right now, let's see. We got a Law & Order rerun on the TV as I'm talking to you. This is the party that's going on at the Tomasulo house.
That is an exciting time. No big breakfast?
We already did the grocery. You know, I do the grocery shopping every Sunday morning. I go to Mariano's. I see all my friends there, Bob and Elva.
Yeah.
And, you know, all my friends over there. And then I take the dog for a walk, and then I come home, and then I, you know, all I'm doing right now is working on this damn fundraiser. There's no fun right now. There's no fun in fundraiser right now until this thing is over.
And you know it's right from the heart when you can refer to it as this damn fundraiser. Because there's so much work that goes into it.
And you've done it.
How many years now is this? This is the eighth?
This is our eighth year. Yeah, this is our eighth year. I think you were there from year
all,
one.
I've been all of them. Yeah, I've been there all of them, all of it a fundraiser to raise money and find a cure for trigeminal neuralgia, a condition that Pat's wife Amy has lived with for quite some time. And from going to this benefit, you always have medical experts there and people who also have trigeminal neuralgia talking about.
Yeah.
What this is like, and you know why you and Amy are so dedicated to finding a cure for this. Just explain what this is. I don't even know how Amy, you know, or anybody who has it can put up with this nonstop chronic pain.
Yeah, it's you know, simply put, it's, you know, doctors refer to trigeminal neuralgia. And this is clinically speaking, you know, they refer to it as the worst pain known to mankind. You have a nerve called the trigeminal nerve on each side of your face, and somehow this nerve gets damaged or diseased, and the result is just excruciating, lightning bolt-like, electric shock-like, stabbing, burning bouts of pain. That patients, in Amy's case, experience dozens of times a day. And, you know, it leaves a lot of patients disabled, unable to live any kind of normal life. You know, there are some surgical procedures. None of them are guaranteed. None of them are guaranteed to last forever. They don't work for everybody. The medications don't provide a relief for a lot of people, and the side effects for them are pretty terrible. So, you know, our mission is to find a cure. That's what we do. We work with a group called the Facial Pain Research Foundation. I'm a trustee with them, and we fund our own independent research. We're an all-volunteer group, so 95 cents of every dollar goes directly to research, and then all the proceeds from Laugh Your Face Off go directly to the foundation.
Yeah, that's nice. And for these 8 years now that the show has gone on, 7 years, this year will be the eighth. How much money have you raised for this? It's an astonishing amount of money.
Yeah, so far about $2.65 million. So wow. we're hoping to go over $3
million. Yeah.
And, you know, listen, one thing, if I can brag a little bit about the event, and I'm hoping you can back me up on this. You know, you and I know you MC a lot of events, and we go to a lot of galas and charity balls, and they're all great causes, right? They all raise money for great causes.
But they can be very painfully boring also at the same time.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And this event, I think you can attest, is not a boring event.
Nothing but fun.
This is a fun event. It's a comedy show. You know, you're going to hear from some patients. You might laugh a lot. You might cry a little. It's you know, Amy and I have our fingerprints are on every single element of this thing because we started it from scratch, and it really is a special event.
Yeah. So
if you can make it, go to laughyourfaceoff.org. There are not a ton of tickets left. There are a lot of tickets left in the balcony. But overall, not a ton of tickets. So if you'd like to come, please try and sign up or get your tickets as soon as possible.
Yeah, I'm going to 100% agree with Pat of what an entertaining night this is. I mean, it's not just nothing but great stand-up comedy. And I'm going to say maybe, you know, the crying your eyes out part, I think it just touches your heart. And, you know, it shows the courage of people like Amy and others who are courageously living with this every day, waiting for a cure to happen. You know, I think it's hopeful in a way. It's very, very touching. So I hope people can come. Aside from yourself, who else will be up there doing stand-up?
This year we have a guy named Adam Burke, who was... So you know, like when you know, you hear late night comedy shows, they have a whole staff of writers.
Yeah.
Well, Adam was my writer on Man of the People.
Oh yeah.
Because I had one writer, and Adam's an incredible stand up comedian. We have Sean Flannery, who's been on Comedy Central. Kristen Toomey, who's one of the best local comics, and Calvin Evans, who's done our show the last 2 years. And people just love this guy so much that he'll be back again to be part of the show.
Kristen Toomey, any relation to Mike Toomey?
No relation to Mike Toomey, believe it or not. No.
How about that?
That's, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, great comedy that's going to be taking place. A great event, a great cause. And it's all at the Park West. Super comfortable to come and see a show there.
We'll have past appetizers, courtesy of a Level Above Events. We'll have free valet parking, so you don't have to worry about trying to find a place to park over there. We'll have that for you for free. And then the comedy show starts the event starts at 7, the doors open at 6:45.
Yeah, and the best part is, I know that Robin Baumgarten is going to be there.
Can you believe that?
Larry Potash, Paul Conrad. It's a great...
All three of those nudniks are going to be in one place at one time.
Great time to come up and ask them ridiculous questions about the morning show. When you see Larry, he'll be the easiest to find because he's tallest. Ask him what time he wakes up. He loves that. He loves when you...
Well, if he's double-fisting drinks, he'll answer any question you ask him.
Yeah, or if he's had even like a half a drink, because really that's all it takes for pot.
He's such a lightweight.
He is so completely a lightweight when it comes to that. But always a really good time. On our text line this morning, Pat, somebody, the 815 area code, writes in, wow. Amy is going through all that and is married to him. Poor woman.
Can you believe it?
Now, do you need, you don't need something like that, do you?
Yeah, no, that's an original joke. That's the first time I've heard that one. In 8 years, I've never heard that joke. I want to congratulate that person on such a hack joke.
Now, this is what we need on the TV morning show. We need a live... Well, I guess we have a text line where people... But like one that we can, you know, react at the moment's notice of what's coming in. Aren't we trying to get like a live telephone hookup, something like that?
Yeah, I believe we
for
are.
Paul, well, for Paul, Paul Conrad?
Paul, for the courtesy desk, was answering live phone calls for a while, which was, from somebody who reads the text line every day, believe me, that was a dangerous endeavor to answer phone calls. Considering what some of these cretins text in every morning on that text line. And believe me, he got very lucky that nothing was said on live TV. And you know how they are now at the station. They're very, very wadded up about, you know, profanity getting on the air.
Right.
So I think they're working on a 7-second delay so that Paul can answer live phone calls. But if you know anything about the place we work, I don't anticipate this happening anytime before 2024.
Right, right.
But fingers crossed.
Yeah, it could take years before that happens, but they are very definitely working on it. But I would love the idea of, you know, like in the middle of, like I'm doing my entertainment reports and someone wants to tell me how bald I am. You know, that I could just, you know, stop what I'm doing and mention it.
Wouldn't that be fun for somebody to... Wouldn't it be fun to have like 8 phone calls about the one minor detail you messed up about the box office numbers?
Right.
And they want to let you know and remind you of the mistakes you made. Ah, that would be so much fun.
But they're not.
I think knowing you as well as I do, I think you would handle that so well.
I'm always very measured and very calm.
Oh, you are so measured. I think you would handle that like a champ.
Yeah. Yeah, that brings out the Greek in me. There's no question
you
about that.
You and me both will handle that so, so. Excuse me, it was 5-4, not 5-3. Maybe you shouldn't have the job you have. Shut up.
But they're not all bad on the text line. Pat, they're not all bad. Listen to this. 331 area code. I don't even know where that is. But 331 area code says, bring back man of the people.
Oh, that's very kind.
Yeah, they want to. So you, the one person, you are not a moron.
Listen, I appreciate the sentiment, but unlike Dean Richards, I'm not willing to work 100 hours a week again. I like my life now. It was fun to do.
It was.
But no, thank you very much for. I hear that very often. A lot of people want the show to come back and. And who knows? Who knows? Maybe one day in a different world it does come back. We'll see.
And you know what? There's not a week that goes by where someone doesn't go, hey, that Billy Joel thing that you did on Man of the People was really funny.
For real?
That was all Pat. That was all Pat's idea.
That was fun.
You
killed it, though.
We pretended Billy Joel was in town at Wrigley Field, and because people tell me all the time I look like Billy Joel. We went over there. Pat got a limo with my picture on the side of it that said Billy Joel. He got a bodyguard. Who was that? You got somebody from the
Spice
Bears.
Adams. We got Spice Adams.
Spice Adams came over to be like my bodyguard.
Major social media superstar.
Pat put on this cheesy looking ponytail wig to be my manager, and we went over by Wrigley Field, and people were shocked.
The best is we got into Wrigley Field.
Yeah.
And the Cubs were so pissed. they called the station.
Yeah.
Oh, were they hot?
Yeah, the people were. A gate was open, so we went inside, all of us.
Yeah, security let us right in, thinking you were Billy Joel.
And then we went downtown. We're running up and down Michigan Avenue. People are handing me their babies. Oh, Billy, will you hold my baby? It was hilarious. It's still out there. It's on YouTube or someplace if you want to watch it. But all Pat's idea, and people still bring that up to me every single week.
That was fun, man. That was a fun day.
The 773 area code, Pat, says congratulations to Pat on his new office and mostly his new wallpaper.
How about it? Yeah, listen, and I know a lot of people have been asking. The wallpaper is not for sale. It was a special order for a special guy. And the interior designer would like everybody to know that she will not be mass producing that wallpaper. That was only for me and for whoever inhabits that office for the next 75 years, because you know they're not going to take that damn thing down.
It's from a distance, a beautiful wallpaper that looks, very, very modern, very hip, very chic. But when you come up close on it, explain what this wallpaper is.
It's Paul Conrad in a bathtub holding an onion. And it's just the image repeating itself over and over. And I love it. And that's why it's the best. It's the best because long after I'm gone, whoever is in that office next is going to have that wallpaper up behind them because they're not going to take that down. You know where we work.
They'll
just leave it up forever.
Yep.
And that was why I did it.
I love it. And this Laugh Your Face Off benefit is coming right up. It's September 24th. It's at the Park West. And how can people get tickets for this, Pat?
Just go to laughyourfaceoff.org to get tickets. There's a button right on the homepage. Click on that, and it'll take you to where you can select your tickets.
8th annual Laugh Your Face Off is coming up September the 24th. Pat Tomasulo, I will see you Tuesday morning, my friend.
Thanks, brother. Thank you for all the help. I love you, pal.
Love you, too. All right, still to come on the program, Regina Hall, who I've interviewed so many times through the years, couldn't be sweeter and nicer. She's got a brand-new movie out with Sterling K. Brown, who you probably know best from the TV series This Is Us. They stopped by, and we had a great conversation with them about their new movie, Honk for Jesus, Save Your Soul. We'll get to that coming up in our next hour, and I'm looking forward to spending some time with the barbecue and grilling folks from Weber Grill. They will be joining us to get us ready for the Labor Day cookouts. But as they told me this week when I was talking with them, grilling is not just a summertime deal anymore. I know I go really until it's below zero. I'm still, grilling outside, and, I know plenty of people who are still outside when it's below zero. They don't stop, and tailgating is not just for football season anymore. People do it all the time now. So we're going to talk about using those outdoor grills in a more 365-day-a-year kind of fashion when we talk some grilling coming up a little bit later on. And I've got some suggestions of places you can go and things that you can do for the Labor Day week. No one's on the drive right now.
Well, it's almost over.
No one's biking the drive. No one's triking the drive. No one's driving the drive. It's just empty right now.
That is such a hilarious image of you on a tricycle. Way down on the seat when the back by the rear tires
I would need both of you to help me get up. My knees would be all tangled up with the little handlebars. Would the bike the drive was over at 10:30?
11:30. Yeah. Yeah.
There will still be some, for a half an hour. Where is everybody?
They're almost done. They finished ahead of schedule despite the rain.
People scared of a little rain. Oh, it's the quiet.
You know, you're going to get in trouble.
Yeah, so
you're going to get in trouble.
Yeah, tell me something I don't know. What do you mean I'm going to get in trouble?
Well,
I'm just saying there's nobody out there.
You're afraid of a little rain.
I'm going to get wet.
Apparently, my spandex clothes
are getting wet.
A lot of them didn't think so because they were riding all morning and it was raining pretty hard here a while ago.
My inappropriately tight spandex clothes are getting wet.
Andy, you want to talk about the ball games this afternoon?
Hey, you ever see some of those people on bicycles when you stop at a red light in the bike lane? There's somebody in like leotards or something. I'm sorry. Back in the day, back when men were men, when we rode our bikes, we didn't wear skin tight. We wore our Sears Husky jeans.
Were the Husky shorts, the jorts, whatever they were called at that point. Yeah.
Wranglers. That's right. We were Wranglers.
Or Levi's, whatever.
That's when men were men. So coming up.
Yeah, you and riding a tricycle. That's when men were men, huh?
That's right.
With the streamers coming out of the handlebars, too.
Oh, I was quite a sight to behold.
Did you have a bell?
Back then, of course
did. Did you have a bell or a horn? Yeah. I had a horn because I could wire it up and put a battery in it.
I wish I had a horn right now to flood out what you're saying.
We have got another Dean's Night Out coming up 1 week from today. Paramount Theater in Aurora. The new production, Dreamgirls, now open, but we're all going to go see it together a week from today, on September 11th. You can win two tickets to the Paramount's Dreamgirls and also a pre-show reception with me. Just before the show. So we have a couple of cocktails. We go see the show. We all have a good time. And you can do it all for free just by entering the contest. 10 people will win a pair of tickets. To join me, just go to WGNradio.com/contests. WGNradio/contest. The sweepstakes will end tomorrow, Monday, September 5th at 11:59 p.m. Central Time. So I hope we'll get people to enter and come out and join us at the beautiful Paramount Theater. You know what I did on Friday night? You know, I love going to these Greek festivals that are put on by different churches around the Chicago area every year. And on Friday night, I went over to St. Demetrius Greek Orthodox Church, which is in the Lincoln Square area. It's basically at Foster in California. It's actually 2727 West Winona Street, but it's basically Foster in California. And they put on a huge festival with live music and, the food. Shwani, you would have loved the food. They had shish kebab. They had gyros, they had Greek roasted chicken, they had the Greek lasagna, you know, pastizo is what it's called, and spinach pie, everything. And you know who makes it? The older ladies of the church. So it's all, everything's handmade. Everything's like, and super delicious.
And you didn't invite us?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Would you like to go next year?
I would love to go.
It's going on today. You can still go today.
Ladies of the church, I am sure that food was just outstanding.
Oh, I would love to see a pack of old Greek ladies get a hold of you. I don't know what they do, but they would. You don't mess around with the old Greek ladies of the church. It's going on today and tomorrow, 11 a.m. until 8 p.m. at St. Demetrius Greek Orthodox Church. It's a beautiful, and when you're there, you know, visit the church. It's one of the older Greek churches in the Chicago area, and it is just absolutely magnificently beautiful. So I'm there Friday night and enjoying some dinner, and I'm hearing my name from the stage. They're saying, Dean Richards. They call me up on the stage. I'm halfway in the middle of a shish kebab. And they call me up on the stage to, you know, say hi to the crowd. Saw a lot of old friends. It was really nice. Have you ever been to the Taste of Polonia? That's also going on this weekend over at the Copernicus Center on, like, Lawrence and it's right off of just west of Lawrence and the expressway. They have food, great entertainment for the kids. That's going on today from noon to 10:30. And then that'll be open tomorrow from noon until 9:30. Also, I love going to all the ethnic festivals. And they love me, too.
I hope. That you were nice once they called you up on the stage.
Oh, I was very super nice.
I'll bet you were.
Just checking to see I didn't have any.
You didn't go up there and say, "What do you want? I'm in the middle of my dinner.
Hey, I'm eating.
And you interrupted me.
I'm eating over here. I'm eating over here. No, it couldn't be nicer. Couldn't be nicer. While I was there, I saw the parish priest was going around saying hello to everybody, and the band that was on stage. I wish I could think of the band's name. I thought I was going to remember because I wanted to mention them because they were so good. Semper, I think it was called. Semper, I think. They were so good, but they were doing a cover of a Harry Styles song. And for the first time in my life, I saw a Greek priest dancing to a Harry Styles song. Not something you normally see.
No.
Yeah. So anyway, the St. Demetrius Greek Orthodox Church Festival today and tomorrow. Taste of Polonia, also fantastic. And also, you want to, I don't know Polish food as well as I do Greek food. But, oh, man, as the food at Taste of Polonia, it's delicious, absolutely delicious. I wouldn't be surprised if, the same way they have some old Greek ladies in the back cooking the food, they probably have some old Polish ladies in the back.
Pierogies, perhaps?
Oh, the pierogies. And what else did we have? Homemade borscht, I remember. Having homemade borscht, I love that. What else? I don't even remember the names of anything, but I know I did not leave there hungry. I know that much.
And you won't.
No, it's a good time. And then you polka for a little while and, work it off. That's what we could do.
Polka at tree time?
At our tree time show. We could have a big polka contest.
Hey, how about it? Or our version of American Bandstand.
Like, what do you mean?
We're a dance contest.
Where the people just get up and start dancing. That's great.
Write the names of the songs on a blackboard.
Right. Like rate the record.
Rate the record.
Yep.
It has a good beat. You can dance to it.
Yeah. I like that, but I got to say, I think I like the polka contest better.
Well, you wanted to do a polka show here
for a number
of years.
You know how? Well, I still do. It's one of the many emails that has not been returned that I've sent to management. But
it got lost in the mail.
Listen to what a great listen to how this great idea is developing. We've had live entertainment out at our tree time show, which is going to be November 13th this year. We've had live musicians, we've had performers, we've had you name it. What if we have a live polka band?
Even better.
Live polka band.
Even better.
And we have a polka contest.
Why not?
Tree time. Oh, I love this idea.
Why not?
Andy will just be newly married.
Oh, yeah, we can
He can lead off the polka dancing.
We can roll out the barrel.
Do the hokey pokey.
He can roll out the barrel. Shwani can try to find out who stole the kishka. Might be my favorite polka song of all time. All right. Can we put that down on the list of possible things to do?
I think so. Right. I think so. So I can make a music mix on my reel-to-reel, the polka music.
You are stuck on that reel-to-reel machine today. What's wrong with you? So what's the latest with Artemis 1? I was very disappointed when it got scrubbed for the second time.
And so were my friends that drove all the way over there to see it.
Oh, no. They went there to see it take off, and then it got scrubbed.
Yep.
So what's the latest now?
Okay.
Was there a fuel leak?
Hydrogen leak, which could be the equivalent of a fuel leak. Yes, you need that element to, get off the ground, as it were. This is the second time. They had to scrub the launch because of a situation like this, but it was a hydrogen leak that they tried to fix yesterday and couldn't. And so, unfortunately, they are moving things back now to October.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, they want to make sure. Yeah.
They want to make sure this is going to fly and fly properly. Now, they don't have real people here yet. The astronauts that's down the road a piece.
This was going to be unmanned anyway.
This was going to be unmanned, but they were actually going to have three mannequins aboard.
Right.
And they were going to test to see how it would do in space around the moon,
right,
but specifically how it was going to be able to come back, re-entry into the Earth's atmosphere.
And these are the same kind of mannequins that they put in the police cars out on the highway, so you think somebody's in the car, so you slow down. they go over to Macy's and borrow a couple of their mannequins. These are, this is what, no, they're very high, super high tech. Super, they're the kind of mannequins or crash test dummies, I guess, that they use in a crash testing.
Similar to that, what, yes.
That are like electronic and super state of the art.
But they're also set up and designed to react in certain situations,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So it's not going to happen until October.
Yeah, October. Right, this so is what have, we're looking at.
Well,
yeah.
Here's, I figured out what may be the problem. I was watching the coverage of it, and I'm looking at the rocket itself. And I'm looking at it, I was like, what does that remind me of? And if you look at it, it looks like an electric toothbrush.
It really does.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Back when John Glenn was flying these rockets, they didn't look like toothbrushes. Back when an astronaut was an astronaut, these, you know, you didn't have rockets that looked like dental hygiene devices.
So that's the problem, you
that's
think?
That's the problem. It's a design flaw.
Well, the fact that it didn't lift
look,
off.
I don't want to go to the moon in a water pick. Do you?
Do a commercial for an Oral-B electric on the moon. I always bring my Oral-B when I fly to the moon.
I went to the moon and also flossed at the same time.
Its rounded brush will be round like the moon.
I massaged my gums and orbited the Earth at the same time. I think they should think about redesigning that thing.
Well, I think the problem wasn't the design itself of the physical design of the rocket. The problem was the fuel leak.
Yeah, that's not
which they
fuel
will
leak
fix,
is never. Those are two words you never want to hear.
Which they will know. You don't.
Right.
But the actual launch with people aboard won't be for another couple years. When they actually, this is going to be the first time. Think about this: in 50 years, a half century since we've been to the moon. And the idea is to send people there to stay quite a bit longer than we did in the days of Apollo. One more fact on this. I want to pass along the name and the meaning of the name of the rocket, Artemis.
Artemis.
Yeah. Artemis was a daughter of Zeus and Apollo in Greek mythology.
It's one of the old Greek ladies making shish kebabs in the back. Artemis is back there making a shish kebab for you at that festival.
But it's appropriate because what was the name of the program that went to the moon? Apollo.
Apollo. Yep.
So here we are.
Yep. There you go. There you go. All right.
You're probably going to take credit for that now, aren't you?
I am going to steal it and try to make myself sound a little bit smarter. So coming up in a couple of minutes, what is the most popular snack food? We'll get to that in just a couple of minutes. I am so excited about this tree time show all of a sudden.
Someone stole a kishka. Someone stole a kishka.
This is what it's going to sound like on November 13th up in Lake Barrington.
Who stole a kishka?
Oh, that's going to be fantastic. 11:25 is the time right now. The 312 area code texts in. Today is the last day of Taste of Melrose out in Melrose Park. I haven't gone to that in years, but I remember Taste of Melrose as being an amazing Italian food festival. You know, there are plenty of Italian people living in that area, and they bring out the best. So Taste of Melrose, today's the last day. Taste of Melrose, Melrose Park. Great Italian food, it says here, and Elio's funnel cakes are the best. Well, funnel cakes are just, there's no such thing as a bad funnel cake. Coming up, we're going to be getting into talking about grilling for your Labor Day. The folks from Weber Grills will be joining us. We're going to talk about some pizzas on the grill that I did the other day that were amazing. Thanks to one of our listeners last week named Kevin, who gave us an unbelievably delicious recipe for a pizza with feta cheese and tomatoes and strawberries on it. I know it doesn't sound like the combination that would work. And like a balsamic glaze on it. absolutely delicious. I couldn't wait to try it, and I've made it twice already since then. So we'll talk about all that stuff and so much more still to come. My
beautiful day. I see motor vehicles on Lakeshore Drive.
Spike the drive apparently is over, and they're now letting vehicular traffic back on the drive again. Hope everybody had a good time out there, didn't get too wet.
You'll still see some closures in Grant Park, though. Balbo between Columbus and DeSauva Lakeshore closed for a little while yet.
Aren't they having a big, like a festival over there or something?
There's something going on there as well. But in Grant Park, per se, it's pretty much bike the drive, though.
I thought I saw or read something like, come after the drive and have a party with us. There's a band and, you know, food and stuff like that. So I think they're probably having some kind of party over there right now as well.
Okay.
The
rain.
I'm sure they're eating very healthy things, which kind of ties in with this next story. You know, everybody's trying to eat a little more healthfully, right? Well, we're all trying. Andy's having the best success at this. How much have you lost so far?
Since I started, it's kind of fluctuated between 22 and 25.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
It is.
Yeah.
As I said earlier in the show, I can't wait till your wedding's over so you can get fat like the rest of us.
Yeah,
again.
And as soon as you said that, the text came in, please don't get fat after the wedding.
No, you look super healthy. Super healthy. You're my inspiration. That's what I want to do. Schwani.
What?
I want to lose weight.
Well,
hey, you want to go work out together?
You can spot each other.
I'll spot you.
Here, you hold these barbells. I'll spot you. Anyway, apparently, people may be eating their breakfast, lunch, and dinner more healthfully, but they're eating snacks like crazy. The snack sales reports came out from all the big companies. And you know what's going through the roof? Doritos, Cheetos, Ruffles, something called Pop Corners. Does anybody even know what that is?
I do not.
I do not know what Pop Corners are. Smart Food? No idea.
That's that smart popcorn with no calories in it, I think. Very little sodium.
I'm not sure because that's what I would have thought. But then the two snacks that showed the greatest increase in sales, something called Skinny Pop.
Oh, yeah.
That's it.
That's
Skinny Pop.
I think that's the one that you're talking
that's
about.
That's the one. Yeah, that's good stuff. Yes.
It's good stuff?
Oh, yeah.
It is good.
Is it like popcorn?
It is like popcorn, yeah.
Because I've had some stuff that's like, oh, I've just eaten some styrofoam.
Right. Styrofoam or cardboard. But no, this actually has some flavor to it. It is pretty good.
Yeah, that was our pandemic watching TV food. Little snack. Really? Yeah.
Well, I'm curious. I'm wondering what is Pop Corners, if anybody knows. 312-981-7200. And the one that had the greatest amount of sales, 32% increase in sales, Pirate's Booty.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody know? I don't even know what that is.
I think that's the brand name or the
like a trail mix?
Name. It's a potato chip, I think.
Oh. I think you're both wrong.
That was like a trail mix.
All right.
It's like a popcorn.
It's like a popcorn.
Oh, it's a popcorn? Yeah, okay.
Yeah. It's right. Like a popcorn.
I'll listen to you, Jack.
Yeah.
I'll listen to you.
I've had that before.
I believe you, Jack.
Jack is our official snack expert on the show.
There we go.
Yeah. Pirate's Booty is a delicious baked, never-fried puffed rice and corn snack made with real aged white cheddar cheese. And they have several varieties with cosmic white cheddar cheese, whatever that is. They look like, when I'm looking at pictures of them, they look like cheese puffs to me.
Yeah, they do. I'm looking at them right now.
They look like cheese puffs. They don't, this is apparently the number one snack at least the snack with the highest, percentage of sales increase. And it looks like you took, those styrofoam things when you're packing
the peanuts,
stuff? If you put some cheddar powder on it, that's what this looks like.
Yeah, that's a good call. That's a good call.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. Does not give me a good Dorito any day.
Cool Ranch for me, please.
I love a Cool Ranch. I love the traditional. I love all those.
We had.
And don't even get me started on Bugles. You know I love the Bugles.
Mm-hmm. Well, we had some great chips and salsa at Rehoboth Beach.
Oh, here we go so with Rehoboth Beach again.
No, what did you call it?
Schwani's running for mayor of this. What is it, Rehoboth?
You call it Rehoboth.
What? The town that Schwani's running for mayor. He's getting his retirement plan ready.
Rehoboth.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, him too.
Whatever. What'd you have? What kind of snacks
Vote
did you
for
have?
Me on Tuesday. The chips and salsa.
Oh, chips and salsa.
Amazing. And then later we had some crab dip and some chips. Man, it was good.
That sounds good. Here's a snack that I had that I love, and I can never find it anywhere. I was on vacation someplace. I don't even remember. Oh, I was in Northern California. We were like running around tasting wine all day. So we thought we better get some food in our system. So we bought some sandwiches and snacks and stuff. We bought some Maui onion potato chips with onion dip. Oh, my God. It's the most delicious thing ever in life.
What was the onion dip that you liked?
Lipton.
Lipton onion dip.
Yeah.
Was this similar or was it better?
Yeah. Well, the onion dip was very similar to that. The onion dip was unremarkable, but these Maui onion potato chips, the potato
chips. Those sound good.
Potato chips that are onion flavored.
Mm-hmm.
And they were amazing. Absolutely amazing.
With the dip, I'm sure it was great.
Oh, super oniony delicious. You can't beat that.
Yeah, you know, I've started snacking on these things called Catalina Crunch. They're keto. It's a keto-friendly cereal.
Huh.
But they're in bite sizes where they have different flavors. I'm a big fan of the Cinnamon Toast Crunch version. Mm-hmm. And I bring them in a little bag with me here to work and just snack on
them. So it's a nice little snack in between breakfast and lunch.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. Give me some Bugles and that Lipton French onion dip that's not fully mixed together, where you get a little pocket of powder in it.
Oh, yeah. Still
supercharged.
Fills up the hole in the Bugles.
Oh, that's fantastic. Donna, you're on WGN Snack Radio 720. Good morning.
Like the French, I know what Popcorners is.
Oh, good. Tell me.
Well, I think it's kind of maybe a healthy version of a Dorito. And that's about all I could say good about it. The place I donate blood, that's one of the, they give you the little bags of snacks and your juice and all that.
They give you Popcorners?
Popcorners, yeah. So they're a little triangular kind of thing, maybe corn. Not too tasty. I much prefer Bugles or Cheetos, but oh well. It's good.
Yeah, somebody says their Popcorners are triangular-shaped chips made from popped corn.
And it's just relatively bland, but oh well.
Are they?
It goes well with your diet pop.
They're not. They're not cheesy at tasting.
No.
No flavor to them at all.
No. Not extremely salty. Not extremely garlicky. They're not extremely oniony.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe if I had some French onion dip made with Lipton soup.
They'd
be okay.
That's heaven on earth, my friend. I'll tell you that much.
Absolutely. Maui onion. That sounds good to me.
Oh, the Maui
Have a
onion.
Great day.
If you
Love
ever
your
see,
show.
Thank you for the call. Yeah, if you ever see these Maui onion flavored potato chips anywhere, first of all, tell me where you found them, because I had them in Northern California, somewhere like Napa or Sonoma or someplace up there. I can't believe that we don't have them someplace here in the Chicago area. Because they're super delicious. But according to what she just told us, it sounds like the next time that I move, I know what I'm going to use when I'm packing my fine china. WGN. Coming up in just a few minutes, Schwani gives us the latest news update from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Time for my Dean's List A-List interview for this week. There really is only one, major new movie that's opening for this weekend. Something really interesting happened at the box office this weekend. Yesterday, they did this thing that they were calling National Cinema Day, where it only cost $3 to go to a movie theater, and not that many people went, even though it was only $3 to go to the theater. You know what wound up being the number one movie of the weekend? Not any new movie at all, but Spider-Man Far From Home, that came out last December. It's the number one movie of the weekend again, because people wanted to go see it on a big screen for $3. It's the most amazing thing. That was number one. Tom Cruise's Top Gun Maverick came out at number two, and Bullet Train was the number three movie of the weekend. None of the new movies, and not this one that we're about to talk about here, that is from Emmy winner Sterling K. Brown, who you know from the television show This Is Us, and also very, very talented and very versatile actress Regina Hall. They play the minister and his wife of an evangelical church. The minister is hit by a sex scandal, and the church is about to dissolve and break up as a result of his scandal. And this movie is shot mockumentary style, much like Best in Show, much like This Is Spinal Tap, much like the television show The Office. This movie is shot the same way. So, while it's got a string of reality to it about excess and greed, it's really basically a comedy of these two over-the-top characters, these two very talented actors that bring so much to this story. The movie is called Honk for Jesus, Save Your Soul. Regina Hall and Sterling K. Brown joined me at our WGN-TV studio.
Welcome back. It's so nice to see you.
Yeah, it's nice to be here. Thank you for having us.
I have to think, is this the first time since COVID that you're back out on the road and promoting films? Because all that was shut down for quite a few years.
Yeah, first time in person.
Yeah.
It's been a long time. Everything else has been, everything before this has been virtual.
Virtual, yeah. Mm-hmm. Is it fun to be back out?
It's great to be back out.
It is.
To see the country. I'm from the Midwest. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Chicago and St. Louis, where I'm from. Cubs, it's all good. It can be love.
Wow.
We can have NL Central love.
He's starting off.
You
see how he's starting off?
It's all love. Wow. That's what I'm saying.
We need to get you in Congress to bring some of that love. Bring people together of opposing views. This film is just, it's fun to watch. It's so character-filled. From where did you draw these characters? Regina.
Oh, God. I mean, I looked and I did a lot of research on first ladies. You know, I mean, I think we were both familiar with mega churches.
Sure.
But for me, it was a lot of research on their role and their relationship to congregation and spouse.
Yeah. Same for you, Sterling?
Grew up in the church.
Yeah.
Always, there's a line in the movie that says, like, I love the theater.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a certain
aria.
Theatricality of the black church, which is sort of infectious. And so I watched a lot of things and remember a lot of things from my childhood. But there's a few people that I watched in particular that I'm not allowed to name, or else the lawyers get upset.
Right.
That the character's based off of, that in my mind, that were particularly
I think
helpful.
We know from, we've seen them on TV, the ones that you're
oh, yeah,
about.
You know what I'm talking about. Joel Osteen in particular, because, like,
a little bit of a different kind of role for you than, you know, from what we know Sterling K. Brown, don't you think?
From what folks are familiar with, yes. My wife knows that I'm a natural fool at heart all the time. She's like, oh, so you now get the chance to be Sterling. But no, it's people tell me I make them cry all the time. Hopefully make them laugh a little bit too.
Yeah, and that brings us to This Is Us.
Yes.
The emotional conclusion of that. Were you surprised how, I mean, people love shows, certain shows.
Yeah, they do.
But they really got invested in this one and emotionally attached to this one. Why do you think that is?
It's about family.
Yeah.
I think the country is so divided right now politically. that they could get together on Tuesday nights and be like, well, I love my mama. And like, oh, I love my mama, too. And so it was one thing that you could just kind of put everything else to the side for a little bit and just enjoy the journey that this family was going through. I think it's that simple.
Yeah. Yeah. And Regina, for you, we love all your movies. You're so great in comedies, and everybody's looking forward to Girls Trip, the second one. Is that done? Is that in
That's
the can
not
ready
started.
To go?
No.
Oh, it's not even started.
It's not even started because, it's scheduling and getting everyone together, and then, Omicron came and pushed everything back a little bit, and so it's...
It is going to happen, though, right?
Yeah. We might be some old ladies on a trip. But we'll get there.
Yeah, you'll finally go.
The trip is happening. It's cool.
I don't want to talk about the Will Smith slap, but you were one of the co-hosts that night. Aside from all that distraction that took place, was it fun?
Was there something distracting?
I have no idea what he's even talking about.
I may be mistaken. It's something
so strange.
Else.
Yeah.
Was it a fun night for you? Any besides all the distraction?
It was a fun night. It was a scary night until the that thing, that door. Like pulls up, you know. Before that, you're like, "Oh my God, like we're gonna die," and then I think we all held hands. Amy was like, "Can we pray?"
Amy asked for prayer.
Yeah,
wow.
And so we held hands and we all said a prayer, just because you never know how it's gonna go. But it was a fun night. It was really fun. Yeah.
You were great.
Fun. Thank you.
Yeah, you sure were.
Really?
You sure were. All three of you were just fantastic with it. So we heard a rumor that you always wanted to do the news. Don't you have a degree in?
I have my master's in journalism for like producing probably, what do you call it? Like segments. They're like, well, she wasn't going to be too good. She doesn't even have the vocabulary. But
the things
for segments.
Yeah. So do you want to give a try? Let's step over to the weatherboard.
Okay.
Go, Regina.
Here we go.
I'm scared.
Sterling has refused to join us.
From way back here.
He's going to be a supportive friend.
Let's see what I can do. Okay.
But here you do. You step up to the board here. Face this way.
Okay.
And you'll see the magic.
There it is.
The magic come up.
And then I just say.
And put it.
Yeah. And I just
put it in my monitor. I want to see what she sees.
Okay.
Here we go. Oh, wait a second.
Let me see what she sees.
Here we go. Now, see, if you were a producer...
Oh, here we go.
See? Well, this is what it looks like without all the effect.
Right.
Out of the effect.
Here we go. We're getting closer.
There we go. Here I go.
Are you pretty impressed so far?
Yeah. I mean, state of the art. I haven't seen anything. Okay.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Time is everything.
Okay.
Our new meteorologist, Regina Hall.
Yeah. So I'm going to give the forecast for the week. And there's my camera. Thursday, I see some... sun mostly with some clouds, 83 degrees. Cooler on the lakeside area. And also Friday, also partly sunny with a little more clouds at 86 degrees. Saturday, 70% chance
She's
of rain.
And 80
degrees. And then Sunday, 50% chance of rain, but the temperatures will start to drop and we will become cooler at 77 degrees.
Sterling not only did not join you over here, he ran over to the other side of the studio.
It's like he disassociated.
Yeah, completely.
That was beautiful, Reg.
You did a fantastic job.
Thank you.
Honk for Jesus, Save Your Soul. It's going to open in theaters and also will be streaming on the Peacock streaming platform beginning September the 2nd. My pal, Regina Hall, thank you so much. We appreciate it. Love you. And Sterling K. Brown, thank you very much for being a coward and not coming over here. Enjoying your friend over here.
Yeah, there you go. You can see the video of that. She was terrific. They were trying to get the cameras and everything set up so she could see the weather board, and do it the way Tom Skilling and all the weather pros do the weather. But she was a good sport, and they had a good time. Their movie, Honk for Jesus, Save Your Soul, is in theaters right now. It's also streaming on the Peacock platform. I gave it a Dean's List B. It's not going to change the world, but you want to have a couple laughs for a couple of hours. It kind of makes a statement about the greed of how some people take advantage of the pulpit for their own financial benefit.
You know, so that's basically what the movie is about. You could check that out. We're going to talk more about movies coming up in the next half hour. Plus, our friends from Weber Grills will be joining us. How grills are not just for summertime anymore. They are 365-day-a-year friends that provide us some delicious foods. We've got some great recipe ideas coming up. I got to tell you about, if you missed it on TV, I got to tell you about these pizzas that I did on the grill on TV over the last couple of days that I have since, by the way, recreated for friends at home. These recipes are major home runs. They are absolutely delicious on the grill. We'll tell you about that and so much more still coming up. So what we discovered on today's show, what we learned, somebody texted in and asked, are we going to be doing our annual Tree Time pre-Christmas show this year? And Shawnee, the answer to that is?
Absolutely. Yes.
November
13th.
13th. It's going to be a little different thing because we're going to be, we'll be on live for 2 hours from 9 to 11. And then Dan Hampton and OB will be on. They actually start next Sunday with their pre-Bears coverage. But so that week, then they're going to take over at 11 o'clock from the studio, not from Tree Time. But we'll do 1 hour of a show off the air. So we can do whatever we want from 11 to 12. And then at 12 o'clock, we come back on the air again. Got that?
That a nice break. Cater some lunch.
Yeah. We can do whatever we want.
Yeah, I like that.
You know, Shawnee loves going out into the crowd and kissing all the women. That's been a long-time tradition of our Tree Time show.
He loves to go Richard Dawson on everybody.
He goes Richard Dawson.
They all come up to the counter and to the table to where we are.
The Dave Schwann kissing booth. This year it's all going to be about trying to make as much money for us as possible. I know Tree Time would like you to buy stuff so they can make some money, but Schwanny's going to be selling kisses. Andy's going to be.
I bought a bunch of Hershey's Kisses just the other day.
At that Akawaka down there, wherever you were.
Shaka Khan,
place you were at.
I didn't tell you about the chocolate and fudge I bought there.
Oh, I can only imagine how much fudge you must have had. I don't even know what that means.
I don't either, but it's funny.
It just sounds funny. You're right.
I'm leaving that alone.
So
I'm leaving that one alone.
So here's what we learned about the broadcast today. We got to come up with some things to do on the show. I would like to have a live polka band with us at the show this year, and we'll have a polka dancing contest.
Okay.
And I just thought of something else during the break. What's more popular than pickleball right now?
Nothing.
But maybe during that 1 hour that we're off, we can go out into the parking lot and
play pickleball.
Play pickleball, the three of us against three listeners.
Perfect.
I don't even know.
We'll
the
kill
first
them.
Thing about
we'll kill
this.
Them. I don't care what it is either. But we'll kill them, whatever it is. We'll annihilate you. That's what we'll do.
You have
we'll
no chance.
Annihilate them. We'll annihilate you.
Yeah. Now, have any? I have not played pickleball.
Me neither.
Schwann and Andy.
I don't even. The first I heard of it was last week.
I thought it was a game where you got some rackets and you hit a pickle back and forth over the net.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Didn't we have a pickle tasting
that was
Tree
good,
Time
yeah.
once?
Know your pickles.
Know your pickles.
Yep. Well, if somebody...
Well, then just get the ones we didn't eat and bring them back, and then we'll play pickleball.
I'm told that it's really fun, pickleball. Have you played pickleball, Jack? Because you're nodding.
Yeah, I have.
Like you know what it is.
Like once.
What's the difference between that and tennis, say?
It's pretty similar. But you can play on a tennis court and use like a wiffle ball and like wooden rackets.
But why is it called pickleball?
Oh, I don't know. I've just played it before.
Well, let's see if we can find out.
Well, Andy, I would think there might be a baseball connotation here, where the runner is caught in a pickle between bases, and they're trying to tag up.
So apparently in 1965...
He's doing sports analysis now.
In 1965, these two gentlemen wanted to play badminton, but they couldn't find one of the birdies to use, or the shuttlecock, if you know that better. So they
good for you for using that phrase.
The yeah, what? So they had.
I gave you a lot of credit. I was about to throw it
well,
in.
Thank you very much. And they went to a badminton court and started experimenting with different types of balls and rackets, including table tennis,
yeah.
ping pong,
yeah.
A wiffle ball, as Jack just pointed out, was one of the first things that they used. And then they decided that it was going to be this kind of perforated little ball that they're using. And they around the same time, they trademarked this thing called pickleball.
You know what I like? That didn't sound one bit like Andy was reading.
Well, you know, Wikipedia is a hard thing to read from where I'm sitting.
You made it sound like it was off the top of your head.
Well, I try. Yeah. I try. I failed.
I had to look over to see you reading off the monitor screen. Okay, so it's very similar. But how fun would that be? If we, you know, we'll ask for three volunteers of listeners. We'll go outside and we'll cream them.
No.
Destroy
we're going
them.
To do that, can
I'm
we...
not going to. I'm not going to be happy till someone on the other team is in tears.
And then we can have at home players also draw cards from the, you know, the big tree time drum.
What are you saying?
No,
like Bozo.
Yeah,
I get it.
Yeah, maybe we could play the grand prize game. Can you hijack the buckets from Channel 9?
Yeah. You know what you know what? I wonder if we can get the buckets out there.
Get the buckets out there. Get there. There's our solution.
What would be more fun than polking around the actual grand prize game buckets?
Yeah.
Wonder if they'd let us use those.
I like that.
All right. Well, we have, basically 2 months to... Look at all the good ideas that we came up with.
Yeah, next week we can, brainstorm and think up something else then.
No, that would require one brain between the three of us, though, unfortunately. So. 12:15, Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. I could listen to this literally all day long. This is so fantastic. The musical genius of Joey DeFrancesco, who sadly we lost this week. His social media, his wife, his manager, did not provide a cause of death. He was only 51 years old. But, I mean, this guy, Schwani, you're a big jazz head. You're probably a bigger jazz head than I am. But I love this kind of jazz. This I could listen to all the time.
Day and night.
Day and night. But this guy was a pioneer in bringing back this classic sound that was so much a part of the jazz scene back in the 60s and 70s, right?
Yes, exactly. His father was an organist and a musician, and he was responsible for kind of bringing it back into the limelight. Jazz organ had been kind of in the background for a while, but he was definitely the heir to people like, you talk about pioneers, Jimmy Smith.
Yep.
And Jack McDuff from the 1950s and 60s. And not only was he considered the foremost jazz organist, he was just a great guy to talk to.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Just a great guy to talk to. Yeah. I saw him several times at the jazz showcase, and instead of just walking off the stage and going into the dressing room after each set, he would stand around and talk with everybody.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, no, I never, my years over at WNUA playing the smooth jazz. I wish we'd played more jazz like that.
Like that.
Instead of the same Kenny G song over and over again. But I never had the opportunity to meet him, but certainly have been a fan of his music for years and years. And I was very sad when I heard his death. When I heard that he died, it's like that. It's got to be a mistake. He's a young man.
Yeah, I got a text from my friend about it, and I couldn't believe it. You know, he just said Joey died, and I was trying to put two and two. And Joey DeFrancesco?
Yeah,
yeah, he's 51.
Yeah, but what a contribution that he made, and staying true would have been easy for a young man like that to move on to some other kind of style of jazz, some other kind of instrument, something that was more portable, easy to, move around and tour with. But he stuck to that good old Hammond
B3 organ.
Hammond B3, that classic sound that can never be duplicated by anything.
He just won a Grammy, too.
He just won a Grammy Award. Yes, he did. Exactly correct. And everybody from all over the world You know, this is not just two dorks like us. paying homage to this guy. Music experts from around the world talk about Joey DeFrancesco and, what an influence he made. And at a young age, too, right? I mean, he kind of started making his mark when he was a teenager.
When he was a teenager, and everybody knew that this was the guy that was going to be the heir apparent to the great jazz organists that came before him. Sure, yeah, without a doubt.
You can tell prodigies when you see them when they're young. You can tell prodigy. I didn't know that his father was an
organist. His father was a musician, yes.
In Philadelphia, where he grew up?
Yeah, right. And I mentioned that he won a Grammy this year. The recording he won the Grammy for is called For Jimmy, Wes, and Oliver. Hmm. And he is a special guest on that with Christian McBride and his big band, and it's a tribute to Jimmy Smith.
Wow.
Also Wes Montgomery, the great jazz guitarist, and a brilliant arranger named Oliver Nelson, hence the title For Jimmy, Wes, and Oliver.
Yeah, that's cool.
And the very first cut, their version of Night Train, look out.
Wow. I'll bet that's amazing.
Oh, look out.
I'll bet that's amazing.
Yeah.
Now I want to go back and listen to, I'm pretty sure I've got some Joey CDs that I want to go back and listen to, but I'm sure it's also downloadable if you all want to go check it out on your own. And now I want to go back and listen. I know I've got some Jimmy Smith CDs. I want to go back and listen to some of that today. I may have a jazz.
Good Sunday afternoon listening.
I was going to say I might have a jazz-filled Sunday today.
Good afternoon listening, yes.
I don't know if you know that I was quite an organ prodigy when I was...
You played Lady of Spain. I understand you were the virtuoso of the neighborhood.
I played Spanish Eyes. That was my big specialty number. I would entertain... My mother would have her friends over at the house. Sadly, this is not an exaggeration. I'm not making this up. My mom bought me a Wurlitzer organ. I took lessons, and she wanted me to learn certain songs that she liked, so I learned Spanish Eyes.
Turned on the vibrato,
and there was a this was like the early technology of the shaboom button,
yeah,
that they had that went so every song that I played had that. But it worked with Spanish Eyes.
Sure it did.
Worked perfectly with Spanish Eyes. So I would wow my mom and my lady friends with Spanish Eyes, with The Impossible Dream. I was big on The Impossible Dream.
I can't hear The Impossible Dream with...
No, I didn't put the shaboom in Impossible Dream. But I was heavy on the vibrato, though, with that.
Oh, yeah.
Because you wanted the
big... Right, you really wanted the big finish.
Big, bold, you wanted that sound.
Now, did you sing with it?
Not to my mom's lady friend.
Good.
I did privately.
Oh, okay.
I did privately when I thought nobody was listening. It turns out our second floor neighbor then secretly told my mom, Odine has a very nice singing voice. It's like, oh my gosh, she can hear me. And then I would finish my set. I had... Like all good musicians, we all had a set, and I would I'd wrap it up with a rousing clarinet polka.
Okay, this is where you get the polka stuff from.
Yeah. Oh yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I may join the band and play clarinet polka. That was one of my specialties back then.
Can I bring my trombone?
There's one more thing for us to do. Does Andy play an instrument?
He said he played saxophone for like a week in school.
Oh, this is a fantastic trio that we have now.
This is it. This is it.
We could play Glow Little Glow Worm.
Just like Lucille Ball, right? Yeah,
but as we say so often, listen anyway. Any time is grill time. I've been telling you, most of the summer I was having work done on my deck out in the back, and I had to remove everything from the deck area while they were doing all that, which also meant my grill was down. All of my grills were down during the summertime, and everything's just now been restored. So I'm grilling up a storm out there trying to make up for lost time. I just absolutely love it. And I know that people are doing grilling, 24/7 now. It's not just a summertime thing. It's not just a holiday weekend thing. But, it's, I think, intensified for a holiday weekend. And that's why I thought we'd invite our pal Dustin Green to join us on the show today. He's the director of the Grill Academy and the head grill master for Weber Grills. Dustin, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Dean, thanks for having me.
So am I correct? Is grilling becoming a 365-day-a-year kind of thing now for a lot of people?
It really is. I mean, the versatility of, and you know, how grills have really developed over the years, and people really wanting to get outside. I mean, it really is. There's no better time of the year to just get out there and go do what you're going to do. It's the weather really doesn't play a role into it much anymore for some.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I'm out there till it's below zero. You know, I'll go out in the snow. That doesn't bother me at all. When it's below zero and it's, you know, like you feel like your skin's peeling off, then I'll back off a little bit, but I know for a lot of people that is not the case, that they love doing it. Plus, you guys have made it a lot easier to grill 365 days a year now. You know, you've got these special tailgating grills. I mean, you've got kind of a grill for every occasion, right?
Well, we do, and you talk about the different seasons around, and you know, weather plays a role into it, and you know, talking about tailgating too, and portability has come, you know, really into people's minds about depending on where they want to cook and what they want to cook, of, you know, the ability of can they do it. And we tried to make it easy by looking at some of the hardships that people had of, you know, is it portable? Is it versatile? Is it, you know, is it mobile? And, you know, what are people cooking of, you know, at the event that they're at or, you know, where they are to make sure that they're able to do it. And that's a big, you know, sticking point for people.
I wonder if, you know, the pandemic had something to do with, you know, the increased popularity of grilling as well. Because, you know, for a while there during the pandemic, everybody was cooking everything. And mm-hmm. I got to think that extended to the out of doors as well, right?
Oh, it definitely did. We definitely saw an uptick of people, you know, getting outside cooking and, you know, interacting on social media with everybody to see what they're cooking and how they're cooking on it, and just sharing tips and tricks and recipes, you know, that trying to make everybody just a little bit better at what they're doing.
Yeah, that's what I want to do. I want to share some recipes, for the Labor Day weekend, you know, for people who are grilling tomorrow. If you've got some special ideas of things that we can do, we're getting into tailgate season now. If you've got some ideas for things to do. I was talking a little earlier on the show about I did some pizzas on the grill on my TV cooking segment this past Wednesday. One of our listeners named Kevin called in last week and gave me a recipe for a pizza. I would have never thought to put all these ingredients together myself, and I did. I followed his directions, and it was so delicious. I'll tell you more about that. I want to open up our phone lines and get some of your suggestions for things to do on the grill. 312-981-7200. We'll continue in just a minute with Dustin Green, the director of the Grill Academy and the head grill master Americas for Weber Grills. 12:36, Dean Richards in September. As Earth, Wind, and Fire will sing in a moment. We're talking grilling on today's food show. Dustin Green, director of the Grill Academy and head grill master for Weber Grills. So, Dustin, I did last week on the show, we were talking about, you know, I was going to do pizzas on the grill. Somebody called in and suggested this recipe of a mixture of ingredients I would have never thought to put together, but I said I was going to try it. I was intrigued, and I did, and it was amazing, and I made it on television. Rave reviews on television, and I made it for some friends again last night. I'm a little obsessed with this recipe right now. It is a base of equal amounts of mozzarella and crumbled feta cheese, onto which you put thinly sliced tomatoes, Went to the farmer's market yesterday and got some amazing tomatoes. They're delicious. Sliced them up and then sliced up some strawberries and put those on there as well. Sprinkled a little more mozzarella, just a little bit on top. Baked it up in the my Weber grill, indirect method with the pizza stone. And then when it was all done, a big swirl of balsamic glaze on it. Dustin, this is the most delicious pizza I've had in years.
It sounds incredible. I mean, those flavors just have to mesh so well together, the sweet and a little bit of the with tomatoes. It sounds amazing.
Yeah, and the, you know, the saltiness, the tartness of the feta cheese with all that, the tomatoes and the strawberries kind of mellow out a little bit, you know, like when you have, like, you know, warm strawberries in a dessert. That it's kind of like that a little bit, but it's not overly sweet at all. Really delicious.
Sounds nice.
Do you like doing pizzas on the grill too?
I do, and you know, I got a couple of favorites I like to do, and you know, typically, you know, sometimes you have to play into the crowd. You got to, you know, see what people like and they don't like, but you know, along the same line, to kind of think outside of the box. So for me, I like to get a creamy style Alfredo sauce.
Yeah,
and use that as my base for a sauce and then kind of take it that direction, but then use like a little bit of grilled asparagus, some prosciutto, and then same thing, you could top it with a little bit of parsley at the end, or you could put a little balsamic glaze on the top of that too. But it's, you know, another way to think outside of the box with some other like incredible ingredients that just bring great flavor to a pizza.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot. I julienned some fresh basil also and sprinkled that on top of I'm telling you, the combination of these flavors were amazing. Yours sounds amazing, but you're right. You have to read the crowd a little bit. You know, sometimes, you know, you're trying to make these fancy schmancy pizzas, and all people want is a nice cheese pizza or a nice margarita pizza or, you know, pepperoni or, you know, give me a nice sausage pizza, you know, something like that. And those are easy to do on the grill too, right? How do you recommend if someone's, you know, on their Weber, what's the best method, do you think, to do all this?
Yeah, like you mentioned how you were doing it. I love that method, indirect style with your pizza stone, preheat your grill, you know, top all your ingredients once you stretch your pizza and put it on there. And, you know, just let, if you're using a gas grill or, you know, a charcoal, same thing, like you said, indirect, but just allowing that convection heat of the grill to really just bake that pizza. You know, it's simple. You don't have to, you know, and there's not a lot of steps to get it once it's on the grill. And, you know, you just let the grill do the work, you know, you set it and it's just going to cook. That's one method. Or the second method we talk about too is like I can take that pizza dough, I can put it onto the grill flat, grill one side of it in direct heat, take it off, and then with that direct side looking up at me, I put my ingredients onto that pizza.
Yeah.
And then I put it back on the grill. So it gives you almost like a little bit of a grilled element, brings a little bit more flavor, different type of flavor to the pizza. And you know, it's just another style. But either one of those ways work. Just incredible.
Yeah, I've done it probably mostly that way, where I do one side of the dough and let it bake up. You got to be careful because, boy, it can burn up on you fast if you're not careful. Then you flip it over so the cooked side is now up, and that's where you put the ingredients and then put it back on the grill. Indirect, lower heat, you know, just so everything melts up, and the bottom side of that dough then bakes up. That's delicious and easy to do too, because a lot of people are doing tailgating now. I got to think that would be a fantastic tailgating item. Is it?
It is. I mean, you bring your doughs with you, you pack your cooler, just making sure, you know, I use a checklist when I pack, honestly, for tailgates. Anytime I'm going anywhere, it's really just to make sure I have everything that I need, you know, because it's not like when you're at your house, I can just be like, oh, hold on, let me run into my kitchen or run into, you know, you might meet some people next door or wherever you park for your tailgate. But, you know, we talk about the tailgate, and our Traveler grill, just it's such a great grill with the versatility and the mobility for tailgating, and, you know, lends itself so well to pizzas. You know, just a nice even heat, you know, you're able to use that grill to melt your cheese, cook your ingredients, and it does phenomenal for pizzas.
Yeah, when we were doing some tailgating outside of White Sox Park, we took several of your tailgating grills out there so we could cook for people. These things are amazing. The they fold up. I had three of them in the back of my SUV. They fold down to nothing, and they're so easy to move around.
They're perfect. You know, the slow close with how it collapses. You just remove your gas tank from it, pull out your grease tray, and you're right. It just folds and goes. The wheels, you bring it anywhere. Take it to the beach. Take it to, you know, Soldier. Take it to Guaranteed Rate. I mean, wherever you're going, the thing, it'll get there.
Yeah, exactly. What else do you like to do tailgating-wise?
You know, for me, it's I like to try to keep it simple. I like to spend, be able to talk with people, mingle, and I think about wings. I'd like to bring chicken wings because there's the versatility of those where I'm able to do, say, 3-4 different kinds. You know, you can do your regular buffalo, a garlic parmesan, a garlic and, you know, something else. But they just lend themselves so well to being able to do different varieties and really making sure everybody has something to eat based on what they like flavor-wise.
Yeah, so when you do the wings out there, are you doing a little bit of prep at home first before you take the actual wings out to the tailgating site?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no, depending on what style of wing I might do. Sometimes I might marinate some of them. Sometimes I might brine some of them. Other times I just leave them plain and just will grill them up with salt, pepper, oil, salt, and pepper, and then hit them with the finishing sauce that I'm going to do it with.
Yeah, and so you take the wings onto the grill, what, like a medium heat, a direct, indirect? Walk us through that a little bit.
So if we're using a traveler, I'll typically do them direct. I'll go about 375, 400 degrees, and they'll take about 15 minutes aside, depending on the size of the wing. You know, I like to separate mine. You know, you look at a chicken wing, and it's kind of like three pieces. You got the little wing on the end of it that you don't really do much with, and you got your paddle or the flats, and then you got your drum.
Yeah.
I like to separate them because I'm able to cook the like pieces kind of the same way by the same time without having some being overdone, some being a little bit under.
That's a good idea. Yeah,
and that's just me. Some people don't like that. They want the full wing. They want you to, you know, to be able to break it up that way. But that's just how I like to do it. About 15 minutes per side, depending on how big the wing is. And I'll usually hit them with sauce at the end. I don't like to hit them with the sauce too early because if you do, you do got a decent chance, depending on what sauce, if you got a barbecue or a teriyaki, of burning that sauce before the wing is actually cooked.
Yeah, because it's so full of sugar, that really should be the very last thing that you do, because the really all you want to do is warm up the sauce a little bit. You don't really need to cook it at all. When you separate the wing, do you get rid of the wing part that has virtually nothing on it? Do you just toss that, or do you keep it and, you know, I don't know, maybe use it for a broth or something like that?
If I have enough of them, I will. But if I'm only doing, like, say, 24 wings, I'll look at it and I just kind of make it just go away.
Yeah, there really is nothing to it. I've always thought that it's a big waste also. But I've always left them in, like, kind of a V. I think I'm going to take your advice from now on and separate those so I can control the cooking temperatures better, because they cook at completely different times.
They do, and they can. You know, like I said, it's a style that I like, and some people, they look at it and go, well, why'd you do that? Well, like, you explain it, and they understand it, and you're going to get a nice, beautiful, you know, evenly cooked wing, and they go, okay, it makes sense.
219 area code is asking, I want to do some steaks on the grill. Can you walk me through the process, and what is your recommended seasoning for a steak on the grill?
Sure. You know, process, when I talk about steaks, we'll look at the thickness of the steak. The thickness really drives almost everything you do when grilling a steak, the time, the temperature, and we talk about the technique, whether it's direct or indirect. So for a steak, if it's, say, 1.25 to 1.5 inch thick, which is typically what you'll find at most grocery stores and people that sell steaks, 500 to 525 degrees, direct cook, with a single flip. And for me, it's really oil, salt, and pepper. You know, and if I'm looking for medium rare, I'm usually in the range of, say, about 5.5 to 6 minutes per side. And you have to pull your steaks off to allow for the carryover, which, as you know, we talked about it the last time, food's going to continue cooking, you know, when you take it off of your grill.
Right.
And you have to allow for that. And some people understand it, they know it, but some people, they've just never seen it before or, you know, have experienced it.
Yeah, you got to let those fluids, like, recirculate themselves within the piece of meat. Otherwise, if you cut it too soon, you're going to lose all the flavor, all the juices are going to flow away. So you just put salt and pepper on it. That's it. I like oregano also on my steak. Am I better to wait until the end so I'm not burning up the oregano that's over those direct flames?
You know, are you using like a dried oregano leaf or using a fresh oregano?
Yeah, dried.
Yeah, I mean, if it's built in, let's say like a marinade, then, you know, you're fine putting it on in the beginning. But you're right, like you said, if depending on how long you're cooking it, you do got a decent good possibility of it burning up on you or starting to scorch, which will give you some bad flavors that you don't want.
Like so a little bitterness.
Towards the end, definitely. Yeah, it will.
Yeah, I always try to remember to not put it on, but it's such a secondhand, you know, second nature thing to me now that I put it on. I was like, oh, I wanted to try it by putting it on toward the end so I don't burn it up. Yeah. We'll get to some more calls in just a minute. More of your questions about grilling for Dustin Green with the Grill Academy, head grill master of the Grill Academy for Weber Grills. Right after that, 12:51, Dean Richards Food Time Show on WGN with Dustin Green from Weber's Grill Academy, their head grill master. Somebody texting in a question for you, Dustin. How about seasoning or a quick marinade for sole on the grill in a basket? Yeah, sole seems like that would be tricky on the grill. Because it's so delicate, right?
It is. Sole's definitely, it's difficult, but it can be done. I mean, if you look at it, you know, Dean, we could take it directly off the grates. You know, you're probably about 500, 525 degrees, you know, seasoning for that. You know, the great part that I love about sole is that yes, it's a delicate when you handle it, but it's also delicate, too, by so many flavors can mesh to it. Like, there's nothing that says you have to do X or you have to do Y. Like, it really will take just about anything you want to put at it. You want to blacken it. You want to put a lemon pepper on it. You want to, you know, go like a Mediterranean or Greek style. It'll do that. But to grill it, like I said, you're looking at 500, 525. You want to put the flesh side down first and then just gently turn it over. You know, and if you happen to have, you know, some of the great accessories that you make and you have a griddle or one of the flat tops, you know, there's nothing better about preheating that your grill with that accessory and then cooking it right on there and allowing that caramelization, that beautiful sugars to, you know, add that extra layer of flavor to that sole.
Yeah, I'm thinking that you're going to oil the grill or the basket first, right? So it doesn't stick and fall apart. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah, definitely. Oil the food, and I would even give it a little bit of oil, you know, if you're putting it in the basket. Or I wouldn't go with the grill with that way, but if I was going to go directly on the grate with it, I would use a little bit extra oil to make sure that I'm going to give that little step, that extra bit of separation that we're looking for.
Yeah. What about a marinade for something like that? Like for me, when you were talking about that, I was thinking of the Greek style of, you know, like some olive oil and lemon, you know, salt and pepper would be super, super tasty with that. But what would be another easy, quick marinade for sole on the grill?
You know, it's probably more of a cooking style, but if you use like your blackening spices, same thing. If you do the oil and then have like your paprika and your garlic and a little bit of cayenne and some onion powder and kind of go that direction, you know, it'll marinate and penetrate that meat so that, you know, and it's not going to need long. That's the biggest thing with sole is you're probably not going to go more than half hour. You know, the thickness on it isn't, you know, crazy.
Yeah. What are the most grill friendly seafoods to use on the grill?
Sure. You know, some of my favorites, grill friendly, as you talk about, like shrimp, those are great. You put those on a skewer. You know, I think you and I, we talked about salmon the last time. Salmon's a great fish to put on the grill. It lends itself so well from the fat content and the makeup of the meat. If you swordfish, tuna, you know, honestly, you could, a lot of them do lend really well. You put lobster. Lobster's another great seafood you could throw on the grill.
Nice, yeah. It cooks quickly and is pretty simple to season and prepare. Generally, it's just pretty much salt and pepper, right? I mean, unless you want to get super fancy with things.
Correct, yeah, a lot of times.
Somebody on the text line is asking, do you brine steak? Is it appropriate to brine a steak?
You know, it's a personal preference. For me, if I have a thicker cut of steak, if I'm doing a nice big tomahawk, or I have a thicker New York, I'll dry brine it. You know, where it's just sprinkling your salt on it before you cook it, and then that salt is, you know, penetrating your meat while it's sitting there. I don't typically wet brine with steaks. I'll use more for like pork chops or chicken as the wet brine, where that's your salt and some of the flavorings mixed in with the water that it kind of sits in there like a marinade. But yeah, I definitely will dry brine steaks.
In addition to the taste, does it also tenderize whatever it is that you brine? I know a lot of people love to brine turkey, for Thanksgiving. That's a very common thing. Does it change the texture of the tenderness of whatever you're brining?
It does. It allows the meat to hold the water. So it's kind of like a mushroom, where if mushrooms are like sponges, right? So when they're done, they push all the water out of them. What the salt does is it allows the water molecules to adhere to them. So when it penetrates the meat, the salt will pull the water into it, and it retains it. So it actually makes them, yes, it tenderizes, and then it also will allow that meat to be more moist.
Yeah, that makes sense. Real quick, we only have about a minute left. If I wanted to do like a chili or something like that for tailgating, on the grill for the family as the weather's going to get cooler, what's the best way to put that together?
You know, depending on what kind of vessel you have to cook it in, you could, grill your steak on the side, cook it up that way, add the flavor that you're going to pull off the grill. Saute up your vegetables, because you always want to add as much flavor as you can, and then you can toss it all together. You know, some people like beans, some people don't like beans. Tomato base, if you're looking for that, and just put it all together in your pot and do it that way. And if you have the opportunity, if you have a smoker box, or you can add a little bit of flavor that way too, the more the merrier.
Okay, so just like a Dutch oven, something like that, and put it right on the grill on a low heat.
Correct. Yeah, I would put it on there probably a low to medium heat. And like I said, depending on what you're looking to do, if you want to grill your meat and then add it in, but you could use that Dutch oven to saute your vegetables, add all your beans, your liquids to it. Then you toss your steak in towards the very end of it and let all those flavors melt.
Yeah, that's the best way. Slow and slow, as they say, to get all those flavors together. Dustin Green, Director, Grill Academy, Head Grill Master for Weber Grills. People want to get more info, Dustin, what's the best way to do that?
Oh, definitely hit up Weber.com. We have all kinds of recipes, tips and tricks, instructional videos, and just trying to get people to cook more and have access to information.
Good deal. Have a great holiday weekend. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Dean. Take care.